Okay, there we go. We got sound now. Hey everyone, welcome to the very first episode of Die Party Omen, a Dungeons and Dragons 5th edition game. I wish someone told me that there was no sound when we started. But that's okay. That's all right. We're good. We're going to be playing very very basic 5e, like no real changes here aside from thematic world changes, obviously. So let's go around and introduce everyone who'll be playing. Up first, we have Mr. Sheepdog Gaming. How you doing?
Good, thank you. It's nice to be here and looking forward to it. I've no idea what my character's name is yet or anything,
Yeah,
really.
we're gonna do a very simple character creation here. We're gonna be doing rolling attributes and that sort of stuff, but yeah.
But yeah, it's my first time with 5e, or I think actually D&D at all, so should
Oh,
be
well,
interesting.
welcome to a world of shit, I guess.
Yeah. Yay.
Up next we have Mr. Nightmare TV, aka the Floofinator. I don't know why I said TV at the end of your name. I never say TV at the end of your name,
I
but
think that's because it's part of my Twitter.
yeah, it's your Twitter. Yeah.
Hello, everyone. It's good to actually finally be back playing 5th edition. The only rule system I actually know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Unlike Die Party, or Mutants and Masterminds, or Rogue Trader.
Yeah.
Don't know what I'm doing, I just kind of go with the flow.
Yeah. It's
But this
true.
one, I know what I'm doing, so I'm excited.
Yeah, and last but not least, we have a returning figure who DM'd for I think the longest d dungeons longest Die Party game we've ever run. His name is Mr. Graham, aka Graham underscore complete on Twitter. How you doing, sir? It's been a while.
I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm
excellent.
closer. I'm closer to death than the last time we spoke.
I like him.
Oh, great. Perfect. So we're gonna be playing, as I mentioned
So we better
earlier.
get started.
Yeah, we're gonna be
Running
playing
out
running out of time. We're gonna be playing Dungeons and Dragons 5th edition here. Graham, you still need to get in the chat so I can give you your GM powers.
Oh, it didn't add me.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
Yep. Let me just I leave that. But we've got a few rule changes in this one. First being that there's not going to really be any sort of like magic has changed, or at least the way that the players will be able to access magic in this game. Graham, can you go into a little bit more detail as to what
Yeah,
you've
let
set
me
up?
explain what's going on here. More or less, the characters exist as a medieval private military corporation that's run by the government of this realm called Invesis. It's called Invesis because it is hidden from the rest of the world. Invesis exists couched entirely by mountains on all sides. A very long time ago, it was normal, just like every other place in D&D. There was magic and stuff. You can do stuff with magic, and but the people abused that power, and nobody really knows why the magic left. Some people say it was the gods, as they are wont to do. Some people say it was simply the humanity got burnt out. But what that means is that now people cannot do magic innately like they could before. There are no such thing as sorcerers anymore. Warlocks and wizards are rare. They can only get power by siphoning it from objects and artifacts that already have magic from the old world. This makes those objects extraordinarily rare and valuable, and this is sort of the basis of the currency of this place.
Yeah,
Every person who has power, every person that has political clout in the world has in their employ a band of adventurers whose job it is to go into these dungeons that are left over from the old world to find magic artifacts that have this residual magic left inside it. Because the person who holds the most magic, they believe or they think, and this has been put into practice sometimes, has the most power, has the most clout. They have the most potential to make large sweeping changes to the political landscape. And so the party that you see before you is one of those, more or less, they are mercenaries, but they're more or less like a private military corporation. The government employs them to go into these dark, dangerous places and retrieve magical artifacts for them. So they are the experts. They are level 5. They are not level 1. These aren't green guys. Okay, these are well-seasoned, trap-hardened adventurers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They may have some magic. You know, I think Dave's character has some magic, and he can siphon magic. But it is, yeah, a lot of the time the party will encounter things that are magical in nature, and either they can disarm and dismantle them and take them back with them. But it's going to be a very different kind of dynamic. You're not going to be able to solve things with magic every time. It's going to be a lot of combat. But that also means the enemies don't have a lot of magic also. It is a universal constant in this place that magic is not a tool that's easily used.
Great. Perfect. I'm excited to hear those words. Did you join the Roll 20 yet? Because I'm still trying to add you.
I'm trying to get into Discord to get the...
Here, I'll post it in this thing.
Link. Put it in the Zoom chat for
me. Yeah, I can do that.
There it is.
Yeah, so we've sort of picked out our characters already. I mean, I'm going to be playing an Eldritch Knight, which is a fighter, which with the Eldritch Knight subclass. Nightmare, what are you playing?
I will be playing a Dwarven Light Cleric.
And, oh yeah, I'm going to be playing Half-Orc as well, obviously. And Sheepdog, have you decided on your race and class?
I think I'll be a human rogue.
Human rogue? All right.
Full on vanilla.
Yeah, all right. So, Graham, I've given you GM rights now, so you should be able to access some stuff. Since last time, Roll20 have added like a compendium of Dungeons & Dragons stuff. So if you click the little eye up the top, you can actually find like information about items and spells and stuff like that too. So... and we've all got character sheets here, so so what we're going to do first, I guess, is just roll our attribute scores. How do you want to do that? What's the normal way of doing that?
We'll do 46 minus 1, 46 drop the lowest.
You can do
/ roll 46 D1, and should do it
D1, okay. So who wants to go first? Let's start off with Nightmare. Let's say sure. Tens all the way across the sky, yeah? That's how that works?
All right. 46, D1. All right.
12, okay.
12, not bad. 14.
Yeah, that's average. Pretty good. Yeah. 15.
15, that's not pretty bad. Good.
Yeah.
11. 11. Oh, I need... 11.
All right.
Yeah, that pretty much suits your character.
Who always rolls completely average? Nightmare rolls completely average.
Yeah.
D6, D1. All right. So first one is 17. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
12, 14, 9. Oh, there's my charisma.
Mercenaries don't need charisma.
Is that? Wow, shit. That's all I need, right? I only need 6.
Yep.
Wow, shit. Okay.
Wow, 2 17s.
Must 2 17s. Nice. Strength and, I don't know, con. Yeah, that's pretty decent. All right, so Sheepdog, you're up, brother.
I'm going to put a lot of faith into someone. I don't know whether this is a good or bad idea. There we go.
Hey, 11, 16, 13, 16, 15, and 6.
And a 6.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's not bad. So mine are pretty easy stat allocations. I need wisdom as an Eldritch Knight, so... but I don't need dex for anything.
You put these where you please. I want to imagine... We're going to imagine a lot of dungeon crawling. We're going to imagine a lot of maybe some light cartography on y'all's part. It's going to be a little old school like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have a question about the Eldritch Knight, because you mentioned that it specifically affects spell, your spell slots, yeah? That's what the magic rule affects.
You have the potential to do all of the spells that it says in the player's handbook. You just have to find objects, specifically magic items, whether they're, you know, potions and stuff, or very powerful artifacts, and then I will tell you how many spell slots they're worth. The item is destroyed in the process.
Okay, so we can...
Then you will have spell slots to use.
So we can use things that don't need spell slots? Like, for example, if I wanted to use my Eldritch Knight recall ability, where I throw a weapon and then call it back to my hand in a bonus action, is that...
We're going to say that is an innate property, and it's one of the things that makes you an adventurer.
Okay, cool. All right. And just so everyone knows, we can do ritual casting as well. Like, we can cast, like, Alarm as a ritual cast, for example, and have it not cost spells, yes?
Right.
So, yeah. So, is anyone missing stuff from there? So, let's go. All right. That means as a half-orc, I get... What is it?
Okay.
I get...
As professionals, we are also going to say that everybody automatically has the Dungeon Delver feat.
Oh, I don't know what
because
that
you
is.
Because you guys are professional Dungeon Delvers. It means you take advantage on investigation checks to find secret doors.
Okay.
It also means... it also means all of you have advantage on saving throws made to avoid or resist traps. You have resistance to damage dealt by traps.
Okay.
And you can search for traps while traveling at normal pace.
Oh, excellent. Okay, that's fantastic. Dungeon Delver. All right, I'll write that down.
And you take that for free. Now, we're starting at level 5, so everybody will have either get to get their ability score improvement or take a feat, which is something that you get at 4th level.
Yeah, I'm gonna be taking the Polar Master feat.
Now, you said you were going to take the Gourmand. Are you not going to take that?
I'm going to take that at level 6.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
Because the Gourmand feat affects how many hit die we get back. So, for example, if we're finding out that we're not having any problems with healing in this game, because then we might have some, then I'll look at taking it. But other than that, I think we'll be okay as it is right now. So, okay.
It's my intent that this introduces an interesting mechanic where if you have like 5 healing potions, you can say, okay, I'm gonna take this for healing. I'm gonna drink this.
Yeah.
Or I'm gonna destroy this and take the magic spell slots.
Yeah.
My spell slots instead.
Yeah.
So it's an either or kind of thing. That is my fun spin. Because playing vanilla D&D is something I don't do.
Yeah.
I got to inject my own stuff into it, like Quentin Tarantino.
Yes, that makes sense to me. All right. Okay, cool. So I get a bonus action to do a D4 worth of damage. Do I have to attack? I think so, yeah. So what type of backgrounds are you guys picking? I'm curious.
That is a good one. I haven't thought of that.
I'm probably just going to go soldier, I think. Because it makes sense. I just get extra... where are the backgrounds in this fucking book?
That's where most of these guys come from, a soldiering background, but those are more of the fighter types. They come from all walks of life. So
yeah.
any kind of acolyte, for example. Nightmare, I'm going to tell you that being a cleric is going to be quite a little bit difficult.
Yeah, I agree with you.
All right, that's good.
Soldier, okay. So I get athletics and intimidation. Cool. Even though my intimidation's in the fucking toilet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't... All I see on the backgrounds is acolyte. None of the others are up there for me.
That's fine. That's the first choice. We've got... acolyte, which, as you may expect, is a sort of a cleric-y type background. We have the charlatan, criminal, entertainer, folk hero, guild artisan, which is kind of like more like a businessman kind of dude, hermit, noble, outlander, sage, sailor, soldier, and urchin. That's what's in the main book.
Okay.
I'll take support staff as my speciality, I guess. How much gold are we going to start with? I'm curious, Graham.
You guys are furnished by a wealthy, wealthy interested party. You can have whatever you please.
Okay.
You guys are basically saying, "Hey, we need this stuff because we know what's going to be down there. We need to prepare for every contingency. So we're going to take a large amount of stuff. You can only take what you can carry, obviously."
Mm-hmm.
There will be, as is traditional in this line of work, there will be a staging area where there will be not necessarily scullions, but there will be assistants there at the edge of the dungeon where you can go and get this stuff. They can bring you stuff, that kind of thing. But you got to go back in and get it. They're not going to come into the dungeon. They'll be out just outside the dungeon ready to do what you need them to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is kind of like a show. People come to watch this happen. People come to watch you guys go into the dungeon.
So you guys want to roll for hit points? Are we taking first level is max hit points and then roll the other
yes.
four? Okay.
Yes.
So mine would be
ready for me to roll some ones.
4d10 plus 10, I guess my hit points would be. So yeah, Nightmare, you go first, brother.
All right, roll. Let's see. I'm a d8. 4d8.
17. That's not.
Kind of crap.
Kind of crap. So you'd be yours is 24
plus con mod, which mine is a 3.
Oh shit, yeah. Okay, so mine is 4d10 plus 5. No, wait, I get 4 constitution per level, so shit.
Yeah, Nightmare, make sure you add your constitution modifier as well.
I will.
Okay.
Alright, okay, so mine's 4d10 plus 30 is my con, is my HP, so. Because I have 4 constitution and I get the, it'd be 34 because, no, that's right, 4d10 plus, d10 plus 30. I got 50 HP. Okay.
Well, goodness gracious.
Yeah. Maximum hit point is 50. Okay. Nightmare. So your hit die, I think, is a d8 for rogue.
Yeah.
What's your con score right now?
Oh, me?
Yeah, you.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. What's your con score right now? One. God damn it.
One.
You have a one, so you roll 4d10 plus. No, 4d8 plus 12.
Okay.
Yeah.
36. That's not too bad.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
That's all right. I mean, Henry's got 45. Henry's got 50, I got 45.
Yeah. You got 45? Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
Being a hill dwarf specifically, I gain 1 extra HP per level.
Oh, really? That's pretty dope. So you're going to be human, right? So as a human, sheepdog.
Yeah.
Let's see. Where the fuck is human? Human. Okay, you get... human
ability scores increased by 1.
You can go the variant as well, which will give you a feat, which would be pretty cool.
Okay.
If you wanted to. So you get to pick between adding one ability point in everything, and then, you know, just whatever. Or you can put 1 point in two ability scores and you get a feat. And then you also get a skill of your own choice.
Yeah.
So that one might be worth doing.
Yeah. So I get 2 points in any ability.
No. Two points in two different abilities.
2 points in two different
abilities. So 1 point in two different abilities, sorry. So you can add like one to your strength and one to your dex if you wanted to.
All right.
Yeah.
Riveting television.
You also get common and one extra language. And I get what? So I get relentless, endurance, and savage. So I just have to remember those. I get common and orc. Okay. Okay. Well, I think I'm ready to go. What's the AC? Oh, can I get plate? Am I allowed to have plate armor?
We're going to say that's the one thing you can have.
Okay. That's fine. That seems like it would be weird to start off with that. Armor tables. So I have chain right now, I think. Can I get half plate?
Sure.
Sweet. Alright, I'll get rid of that and put half plate there. Okay. Wow, so I have 15 plus dex.
Oops, sorry about that.
Actually, no, can I take a splint, or is that too much?
That's fine, take it.
Splint? Okay. That puts me at 18 then. Yeah, all right. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Alright. And cool. I think that's all we need, right? We don't need anything else.
Once you've got your equipment and you've got all your HP and feats and stuff, spells picked and all that kind of stuff, you still need to pick spells that you know.
Yeah. Alright, glaive. How the fuck? How do you add glaive to your group? I need to pick one more spell, but I think I'm good off with everything. Glaive, strength plus 4. All right, no, it's strength. It's your strength mod and then your attribute, your proficiency, right?
For what? Spell slots?
For attacking. So
I'm
rolling.
You would add your ability modifier, your ability modifier, or your strength modifier for a strength based weapon.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Plus your proficiency modifier.
Okay, so. And then you don't add proficiency to damage, but you add your strength to damage, yeah?
Right.
Okay. And crit is just another D. For me, it'd be 2d10, yeah?
For a crit?
For half orc, yeah. Because half orc gets a different another damage die on top of it when he crits, so. So instead of 1d10, it'd be 2d10. Okay. Okay, let's just test it. Okay, cool. That works. And yeah, that's me, I guess. What about you? Who's left over? I'll help someone who's missing.
Yeah.
My spells over to the list. That's all I gotta do.
Yeah? Okay. What's up?
I just need to know what I need to do next, basically. Well, like, I've done. Yeah. I put the two stats in, and then what do I get after that?
You put the two stats. What are you talking about? Let's take a look.
You said for the human.
Yeah. So you put your two stats. Okay. Now you can pick a feat. So go to the book and pick a feat for free. What weapon are you using? You're using short sword, I guess. Is there any good feats a rogue should have, Nightmare?
Skulker's not a bad one. Let them hide in dim light as if it was dark. What else could you have?
I don't see any feats either. There's just the grappler.
Do you have the book? The Dungeons and Dragons book? The player's handbook?
No.
God. Okay.
Skulker allows him to hide much easier, which is the easiest way. Dim light doesn't pose disadvantage on perception checks.
Okay. Yeah. Dexterity, he doesn't have enough dexterity for that.
Doesn't have enough dex, okay.
So why are you putting your... Oh, wait, no, you do. I'm looking at my sheet. I was like, why have you got 19 points in strength? That doesn't make sense. That's my character. Okay, so let's see, feet. So Skulker.
Skulker's not a bad one.
So you just have to remember that you can hide as a bonus action.
Okay.
It's a bonus, yeah?
Yeah, as rogues you can use hide as bonus.
So right. When you are hidden from a creature and miss it with a ranged weapon, which you don't have any ranged weapons, but you can throw daggers. It doesn't reveal your position. And dim light does impose disadvantage on your wisdom for relying on sight. So, okay. So you also get another attribute upgrade at level 4, or you can take another feat. It's up to you.
Okay.
The attribute goes up by 1. Is that correct? At level 4.
It depends on the class. Yeah. So if he's going to be a rogue.
At level 4, he gets ability score improvement.
Yeah, he does. That specific ability changes depending on what class. So let's look here in the rogue. For ability score improvement, you get increased 1 ability score of your choice by 2, or you can increase 2 ability scores by 1.
Okay. So is there anything you want to increase by 2?
You can't increase the score above 20.
Yeah, so if you go to... For example, 18 dexterity and then go to 16 intelligence. Like both those things will go up by 1 attribute score, 1 score.
Okay.
So
yeah, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Also do that with your strength as well, but I think intelligence works best for you. So
yeah.
Okay, and. So yeah, you get sneak attack, thieves cant, cunning action, and uncanny dodge. So you just need to look up what those do for your thing, and then we'll be okay.
Yeah, I grabbed the player's handbook thing.
Okay, yeah. So just look up what you can do and just make sure you do them. Armor wise. You've got leather armor, so did you want to increase that? Because you can particularly get some different armor. Let's see, armor. You can get maybe studded. Oh, you could probably even go up to half plate. Or no, you could have breastplate, which would give you 14 AC plus your dex modifier.
Yeah.
But hang on a sec. It only goes up to 2, so you could... if you go studded leather, you could get... 16 AC, and if you have breastplate, you can have 16 AC. Okay, so I guess studded leather would be lighter.
Yeah.
Is that cool with you, Graham?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, all right. So we'll just change that over. All right, okay. Studded leather, and that will put your AC at 16 rather than 14. 100.
Okay.
Yep. And that's good for you. Your speed is 30 as a human. And yeah, that should be it. What you'll need to do on your sheet, though, is see how in the middle box it's got attacks and spellcasting?
Yeah.
You need to click that plus button and add your short swords in there. Oh, is there okay. Is there a skill that he needs, a feat he needs to have, Nightmare, to do, like, double weapon attacking?
It's like kind of a swords? Weird thing. If you want to, there's two weapon fighting as a feat. That one allows you to use a weapon that is not versatile as an offhand. I'll have to check the exact wording on it.
Right. So if he has, oh shit, yeah, this is the part.
You can still do it. It just will not be as good.
Okay, so let's take a look at the web. So you need versatile as an offhand?
Not 100% on that.
Do you know, Graham?
Say it again.
Offhand dual weaponing? Like, what's the stuff there?
Oh, what's the, what
yeah,
the feature?
Like, if you want to use two weapons?
Let's look at it better.
Yeah.
Light. A light weapon is small and easy to handle, making it ideal for use when fighting with two weapons. It's probably that.
Okay.
Versatile. Versatile means it can be wielded with one or two hands, so it's not that one.
Okay, so short swords are versatile and finesse and light, so that's fine. So that works.
Finesse means you can use strength or dex mod. Finesse, yeah. You have the option of strength or dexterity.
Okay,
mod.
So I think that might be the best weapon for you then. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how does he do two-handed stuff? Like, it's, I know that I get extra attacks, but I don't think I don't think you guys get extra attacks.
Well, I believe you can always use your bonus action if you're willing an offhand weapon. Two-weapon fighting. When you take the attack action and attack with a light melee weapon that you're holding in one hand, you can use a bonus action to attack with a different light melee weapon that you're holding in the other hand.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool.
You don't add your ability modifier to the damage of the bonus attack.
So there's two weapon fighting, a dual wielder. Master fighting with two weapons, gain the following benefits. You get a bonus to AC by wielding a separate weapon in each hand. You can use two weapon fighting even when one-handed melee weapons you're wielding aren't light. Okay, that's pretty cool. You can draw and stow two one-handed weapons when you would normally be able to draw and draw one. Okay, so that's not bad, but that still doesn't fix the, okay, so there's that or your other one. Well, which one you'd prefer, Chief Dog?
Yeah, wait, sorry, can you go over the options again?
Your current feat, Skulker or dual wielder, which will give you an extra AC and allow you to pick a higher damage weapons.
Okay, what weapons is that?
So right now you've got a short sword, but you can go up to you can have two rapiers, for example, and do D8 damage instead of a D6. And you can also you can also have two long swords.
Yeah.
So you could have anything that's one-handed, basically. So you could also, yeah, you could do two long swords or two, so the thing that you need finesse weapons, because you have dex.
Yeah.
So you could have two rapiers, for example, and that would allow you to do an extra D8, 2D8 instead of 2D6.
Yeah, and I need two weapon fighting for that instead of
Skulker. Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you think that's going to be more useful than Skulker? Or?
But you get another, next level you get another feat. Actually, you get another feat at level 6.
Okay.
So you can have, theoretically speaking, you could take back those two bonuses that you just took and have Skulker and dual fighting, because as a human, you get that ability. If you wanted to have two feats instead.
Yeah. But the I'm assuming the bonus to, you know, the bonus to the intelligence and the dex is probably more useful.
Probably, yeah.
So I think I'll go with the... Yeah, we'll go with the two weapon fighting and the
okay.
And the rapiers then.
Okay, that's easy. Alright. Okay, so I'm gonna make two things for you here, because rapier on hand, so we're gonna be using dex, and you get dex plus 7 to hit, and the damage is 1d8 plus 4 for your dex modifier.
Okay.
And then I'm also going to make a rapier offhand, which is what you need to click when you do your double attack.
Okay.
Which won't have your proficiency bonus on it. So it'd be dex plus 4, and then damage is 1d8 plus 4. That seems right, Graham? Nothing wrong with that?
That sounded right.
Oh, wait, hang on. Okay, I fucked that up, yeah. Yep. I know what I did wrong. Yeah. Okay, I need to change my mind as well. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
Yep. Because it already adds strength. Yep. Okay. And I guess we're ready now, yeah? Oh, what background did you pick? Graham. Not Graham, Sheepdog.
Oh, I haven't done the background yet. I'll do that now.
Okay, yeah, just find a... Yeah, you just fill that out. That'll give you extra saving, skills, so...
Okay.
Yep. Okay, cool. I'm also going to... My character's name is going to be... he's going to be... What did I say his name was? Nightmare, do you remember?
Gorm... Wasn't it Gorman Greenskin... Ramsey?
No, yeah.
It was close.
It was close, yeah. Gomang Ramsay. Gomang Ramsay. There we go. Alright, so yeah, I'll just need your character names, guys, and then we can... I can fix all this. All right, sorry for the we should all be ready. Do you know your character name? Sheepdog?
Okay, give me a moment.
What about you, Nightmare? Do you have a character name?
Pardon me.
Pardon me? Okay. Pardon me?
Pardon me. Pardon me?
Let's go with Grant Schold. I'll type it in.
Yeah, that'd be good. Grant Schold. Okay. Alright. I got pretty lucky with all my character ability scores, I think. So... Okay, that should fix it. Oh, okay. There we go. Perfect. I don't know why it did that, but thankfully it didn't ruin everything. Okay, cool. I think I'm ready to go if you guys are.
I've just got to do my background, but I'll do that, you know.
Okay.
Figure it out. Great. Now.
Do you want to do an introduction to the world?
Well, I think we're here already.
Yeah, where we start and all that stuff.
Ah, okay. The three of you guys know each other quite well. So actually it would be quite beneficial to us to know each other's backgrounds quite specifically. So why don't we describe our backgrounds? If you need to make something up.
Yeah, I had this idea of being like in sort of like a guild together or something like that, for being specifically tailor-made for like going into dungeons and finding magical items. Yeah. Just maybe I'm sort of have a little better renown for that, because like I imagine like I'm the type of guy that has like a necklace filled with like magical rings, for example, that I can, you know, break whenever I need to refuel my magical energy and you know, that sort of stuff. That's sort of where I imagine what my character's like. He's been around the block essentially.
Yeah, he's the veteran.
Yeah, the veteran. Yeah, yeah.
I imagine a situation where the other guys in the guild hall, they're still slumming it with like the guild masters and stuff, but you got like the big contract, like you were plucked, handpicked.
Yeah.
And now you're better than they are.
Yeah.
I know it.
Yeah, no, that's maybe I've left that guild behind in favor of a cushy government job. I guess.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, we've probably had at least our little trio has probably been fighting together for a while now, or at least
probably a year.
A year, yeah. Gorman is like he's a bit of a chef at heart. It's a little bit of a mixture of two things. The first is that when he was like a young little orc, half orc, kicking it around, slumming it, he had the opportunity to eat fine food from like some adventurers that were in the forest, and ever since then he's been sort of, you know, chasing that dream of like, well, I killed this thing and I'm going to eat it to see if it's anything like what it was before. So, you know, he takes his time, like you know, he's got a little book that he keeps like recipes in, and he's got like you know, he jots down stuff about like monsters he's eaten and stuff like that, whether or not that he can use that to make like fine food out of. And you know, it's we joked about it before in like another call that we had, but one of the things that, you know, the party's come to expect from Gormung is that his cooking is almost better than the taverns that they frequent. So in a lot of cases, they would prefer to eat on the road than eat in the tavern when Gormung's around. So, yeah.
Yeah, the tavern's just fish paste and hard bread.
Yeah, so, you know.
There's only so much fish paste you can do.
Yeah, there's only so much fish paste you can have. And that's sort of where I'm thinking I'll go with this character.
Is he going for like the Charles Darwin thing where he wants to eat one of every monster?
It's more like he had something when he was a kid and he's never been able to eat that again, and he had no idea what it was, so he's chasing that taste that he had.
Fair
yeah,
enough.
That,
interesting.
Yeah. So that's
next.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. I guess I'll do Pudmi. Pudmi has been working with the guild for, as you can guess, years and years and years. Being a dwarf now, time goes by pretty slowly for him. He originally signed on because he saw a job opening that someone needed. They needed a healer. They needed someone to patch people up. And he's like, well, I got nothing better to do. I can do this. And he just kind of got stuck. And he liked to go explore the dungeon, pick people up, make sure that they're not dying on him.
Charge him for the privilege of not dying.
Charge him and charge him a lot of money for it.
Oh, okay. That's a very interesting character. I wouldn't have thought.
And he loves to be jolly and have a good drink. It's pretty typical for dwarves.
Yeah.
Does he have drink with him, carried with him?
Probably. I have to decide.
Will you tell me?
Yes, he will. He will have drink with him.
Why not? Okay. Next and last.
So I have a question. How long has the magic kind of been broken in the world?
It's longer than you've been alive.
Okay.
A long time.
Yeah. Okay, so I was thinking, like, Grant was brought up to actually kind of despise magic. Just in the sense, you know, like, at this point, it's kind of seen upon as, like, cheating.
Absolutely.
And basically, you know, going out and gathering these items and stuff is just a way to, you know, earn a living, make money, but no actual interest in the items themselves and, you know, like gaining them for himself.
Eventually, the longer this is done, there should be a time when there is no magic left. And
yeah. So there could also be kind of an aspect of the more we gather, the more we get, the quicker we get rid of all the magic as they used up. And yeah.
There are methods for just simply destroying the stuff. You don't have to utilize it. You can just like throw it in a lava pit or something.
So what do you think about Gormung using magic? Because he has the ability to dabble in it.
Well, it's kind of cheating. You know, cheating isn't necessarily a bad thing, really, is it? You know, but yeah, it's kind of like, I mean, you know, anything to win, right? But at the end of the day, he doesn't like it that much.
Is it an honor thing? Do you have a personal moral obligation to be honorable?
I'd say it's more of an upbringing thing, like, you know, like, not much experience with magic growing up, and you know your parents kind of are like, this magic is cheating, it's not very good, it's etc etc, and you know it's kind of ingrained prejudice from birth kind of thing.
Absolutely. And you're not alone in that. A lot of people do have that as well. They have the same outlook as well. A lot of people see it as, you know, when anybody could do it, when anybody could cast magic spells, or there were specific wizards, like everybody had their own court wizard kind of thing. Ooh. That was a little more fair because you could have protection. But now, when people get magic items, they get uppity. People start to die. Whether that's like magic, you know, aerial servants or whatever coming assassinating people, whether it's meteor swarms, whether it's stuff. People have a lot of time to sit around and read how to do magic, but they just don't have any. They don't have any juice. So they have all these times to think up all these magical, you know, assassination attempts and things. There's a lot of piggybacking on each other. We won't see that for a little while because we're going to spend some time in the dungeon as a game. Okay, but we're going to come when we come out. We're going to interact with that a little bit. Dave, are we still doing? Are we still doing hourly breaks?
Yeah, we are. We can take a break.
You guys have been called upon by the Baron of this particular country, this particular fiefdom inside the kingdom of Invesis. Your benefactor, your employer, the person who pays you, the person who furnishes you with goods and armor and weapons and keeps your stuff in good order, gives you anything you need so you can go down into these dungeons and get these magic items for him. There is an understanding with your benefactor that you will do your best to not use the magic items for your own personal benefit, only if absolutely necessary to keep yourself alive. Because they want the magic items. They want that power for themselves and for their resident wizards to be able to do things that they need to accomplish. Secondly, this new dungeon that was found. There are people, there are surveyors that go around to the wilderness. They look under every rock. They look under every nook and cranny out there in the wilderness to see if they can find entrances to these complexes, these things that have been long forgotten by the current age of men. It's very rare that they go about finding one, especially one that is of this apparent magnitude. Underneath a monastery out in basically the middle of nowhere, in the very deep south, in the very frigid south. Underneath a monastery, there was found an entrance. It's basically an enormous, at least 100 feet down, mine shaft. Just a square vertical column that's just a hole in the bottom of this monastery. The monastery is relatively featureless, especially now. It's overgrown. There's vines and stuff on everything. Rocks have seemingly been rolled and moved all over the place around the outside of this monastery. And there is just a 6-foot by 6-foot hole in the floor that leads about 100 foot down. Now, when the surveyors went about reporting this back to the city, back to the mainland where you guys are, you know, make your residence and make your base of operations, the person who the surveyor worked for happened to be your benefactor. So you guys get first dibs. You guys get first crack at it. If you guys happen to die, somebody else gets to take a crack at it.
Is there, like, do we have, like a return by date? Like, do we have to be back at a certain time and unless we're assumed missing or dead or something?
It's assumed that if you don't come back within a month, you're dead.
Okay.
These are relatively lengthy expeditions.
Okay. Would we have, like, because I mean that's a lot of food and supplies that we'll need for a month. Like, how do we go about making sure that we have? Can we set up like a forward operating base inside of the dungeon that people come and?
That's what I was saying before. You guys will have a team of people outside, right outside the dungeon. Who basically will they'll prepare rations and stuff. They'll give you a month's worth of hardtack and stuff, you know, bread and like hard bread and stuff that's relatively compact and relatively easy to carry. So you'll have a month's worth of food, a month's worth of survival rations. But if you guys need better food, there's you guys can take whatever you want into the dungeon, and there will be a right at the front, right at the entrance, there will be a base of people who work for your benefactor. They work for you basically. That will keep the home fires burning. They will keep they'll keep the warmth up in the monastery. They'll keep food handy. They'll keep blankets, beds. They have stuff there for you to utilize and anything you want.
Okay, cool. So we don't have to like sleep inside of the dungeon if we don't want to. We can go outside and do that.
Well, as things go, theoretically, you would not have to sleep in the dungeon, but these things hardly go the way that they're ever planned.
Yeah.
In all of your previous expeditions, you guys had been cut off from the outside world for weeks and weeks at a time. Either there was a cave in, there were monsters in the way, that kind of thing. So there's always something that goes wrong in these expeditions, and that's sort of it's assumed that that's going to happen.
Okay.
When the word got to your benefactor that your employer that this dungeon was his for the taking, as there always is, there was sort of a huge outpouring of people, rich people, people with money, people with influence. They want to come see the adventurers go in because they want to see what happens. They want to make sure there's no funny business. There's a huge crowd of people out here just sitting outside this monastery. The most people that have ever been this far outside of town in a very long time. It's extremely cold. It's the dead of winter that you got all your furs on and stuff. You guys look like bears just making that trek out there. It's this huge ceremony. There's fanfare. There's music. There is a stage set up. You guys are brought up onto the stage. You guys have been introduced. You guys are more or less, you guys are the heroes of this story as far as the commoners are concerned. The people who have money, they're a little bit more privy to the situation. They know that you're not only likely to die, you're probably expected to at least lose a limb in there. Okay. Nobody really knows what's down there. The staging area has been prepped. They've got firewood, piles and piles of firewood in the monastery ready to go. They've got all sorts of food. They got barrels of flour, barrels of water and barrels of ale and stuff for your inevitable return trips. But at this very moment, you guys are standing on the stage. There's a huge crowd of people standing around, all bundled up, all ready to go. There's like an awning that's been erected. This is a production. What do you guys look like? If I was in the audience and I was to look at you, despite the furs, underneath the furs, what would you look like? What would I see?
So Gormung is kind of like a more darker skin orc. He's, for the most part, kept his traditional sort of orcish look about him. Like, he's got, like, you know, corn rolls and braids and stuff like that. And he's got, like, little trinkets hanging in, like, the braids in his hair and stuff like that. And he's got a fairly manicured beard because he realized, like, you know, there was a time when he got his beard stuck in two pieces of... like a door shutting on his beard and he had to cut it off or something like that. So his beard is kind of nice and trim now. And
That happens.
Yeah, that happens, yeah. And, you know, he's got some scars on his face, but not a lot. He's not an exceptionally handsome individual, but at the same time, he's not ugly in any way. So he's... the one thing that's different about him, he's got like a piercing in his middle of his lip. It's just like a ring, and he does have a necklace. Right now, it's probably it's sort of like really thick chain. And what he does is he will hang magical items from there when he gets them, so that he can access them easier in combat if he needs to. But right now, it's sort of devoid of any sort of magical items, I assume, because they wouldn't go in with any. He has like a his backpack is probably like the biggest one out of the group too. It's like on the side it's got like a frying pan hanging from a clip, and underneath it's got like some rope, and he's got like on the back of his thing he's got like a line going down and all these sort of vials in them. But, you know, you'd think you'd be like, oh, that's like, spell stuff or whatever. No, it's just spices for cooking food with and stuff like that. And
looks impressive.
Yeah, it looks like to someone who doesn't know that's like, paprika or something like that. Like, they would think that it's something magical or whatever, but it's not. It's just totally just like a flavor.
It's common in high society for people of with an orcish heritage to remove, especially males, to remove their tusks.
Okay.
Because, especially for half orcs, because their faces are smaller, it causes them to drool. Do you have your?
Oh yeah, tusks? No, I would have my tusks removed. Yeah, like I've probably spent enough. Like, it was probably one of the things where I'm like, if you want to learn how to be a chef, you actually gotta meet the sort of requirements that working with food in high society would have. So
you can't be drilling all over the cake.
Yeah, exactly.
Once you were employed, your boss basically told you need those off.
Yeah. So I was fine with that. Like, I'd rather put my what I'm striving for ahead of my orcish heritage. That's why I keep trinkets and shit in my hair, for that particular reason. Because I cut off the little tiny things in the bottom there.
Put me?
Alright, so Put me is a typical short dwarf. His hair on top of his head is very short cut, military style, very short. His beard is a nice braided beard. Fairly long. He's an older dwarf. White hair, white beard. He's still got a little twinkle of youth in his eyes. He's a portlier dwarf. He loves to eat.
Good match made.
He loves to eat Gormlin's cooking. Loves a good drink. Yeah. His smock or tabard he wears is a supposed to be very white, but over the years it's been stained from dribbles of alcohol and food. But the rest of his clothing is still pretty pristine and clean.
Is it like a lucky jersey? Like you can't wash it?
Yeah. He can't wash it because everything tastes better when he's wearing his, you know, stains. His stained tavern. So he's got a little pony keg on the side of his backpack, and you know, typical adventuring backpack on. And where normally an adventurer would have a length of rope, he just has like a length of just cloth that he'll use to shred in case of bandages and the like.
Okay. That's him. And Sheepdog, what is your character's name?
Grant. So Grant's got, he's kind of standard human mostly, but he's got very nice clothing, but he's very kind of messy hair, messy beard. Like he tries to keep it tidy, but going out for, you know, a month or so when we go into dungeons and etc., he's kind of given up trying to look properly well made up. And yeah, so he will spend time trying to look good, but pretty much fails at this point and has partially given up trying to look clean and presentable. He's kind of carrying the standard equipment and everything. And
like, do you have like a hooded like cape or anything like that to help you hide in shadows or anything particular about you that would make you particularly roguish in any way?
I'd say probably like a dark gray cloak. You know, I don't know whether it'd be hooded or not. I'd say probably hooded just to help with staying hidden and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
You guys have been trundled out here in with a cart of anything that your benefactors would need, or your handlers would need. There are three men with you who act as your, you know, forward operating base. And anything that they need, firewood, that kind of stuff, was brought along with you. And you guys haven't been alone to discuss your kind of like your strategy or anything like that for a couple of days that it took to get out here. Mm-hmm. It took several days, a lot longer than you would have thought, to get all the way out here to get this short distance away just because of the snow. And there's no roads out here. Your benefactor is Baron Harrington Peacebane. And he makes an announcement, and he says, do you guys have a name? Do you guys have an adventuring name? Like a group name? Like a band name?
Oh, yeah. Probably, I don't know, like Never Hollow or something like that? I don't know. Something fantasy-like.
All right, let's think. We'll think of something and come back to that.
Yeah. Forlorn Hope.
Yeah, that's good. The people, you guys are like professional wrestlers. You guys are, everybody is cheering. Everybody knows you by name. They don't address you by name. They try to avoid making eye contact because you're scary and you're going to kill them. But the time comes, there's an announcement that says, here they go. You guys are ushered off by Baron Peacebane's, his like handler, his steward, his hand, whatever you want to call him. His name's Quincy, and Quincy trundles you over to the monastery, opens the door with a loud bang. There's a rush of warm air from inside. Everybody hushes up behind you. There's a whole crowd of people back there. They were cheering before, they were clapping, and they just go dead silent, seeing what you're going to do next, because they are very, you guys are like superheroes. They're very interested to see what you're going to do because they want to be like you. So what do you guys do to enter the dungeon? Your three guys are, they're starting unloading the firewood. They're going to get ready. It's assumed that after you guys go in, there may be a couple people who stay a little bit longer, but then everybody's just going to leave. So what do you make a show of it? Do you just go in quietly? What kind of stuff do you do to go in? You basically see a room with a dirt floor and a 6-foot by 6-foot square tunnel that bores directly straight down.
So the people follow us into the church sort of thing and just watch us go down?
It's a very small room. They out of politeness, they all stay outside.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know...
They can see you, but they don't follow you inside.
Yeah, so I sort of look around at my companions and I'm just like, are you ready to go?
Of course I'm ready. I've been waiting for this all day. It's cold. Let's get in there.
Right. Yes, let's get it over with.
So maybe the first thing we do is like we light like a piece of wood or something like that and drop it down the hole so we have something to see at the bottom.
Everybody goes, ooh, ah.
Yeah. And, you know, make a big show out of that. Like, you know, I'll like sweep it
like
down
the Indiana Jones thing. Yeah, like yeah. You lean back and you make like a lot of really subtle movements, like you're doing something that's really important.
Yeah.
and then you let it go down the hole.
Yeah.
And you back up.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
And I do the like my hand on the ear sort of thing. You know, just like.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Everybody does the same thing. Everybody does the same motion.
Yeah.
See if they can hear anything.
Yeah.
Wind is too much for them to hear anything anyway. You guys hear definitely, this is definitely based on your experience, based on your mastery of spatial geometry in the dungeon. Yes, this torch falls for a good 5.5 seconds, which would make the tunnel, the shaft about 100 feet deep. And then you hear a splash where the light disappears.
Hmm. I was like,
well, don't drop.
I'm definitely getting too old for this. Right.
Should we send the light one down first?
you can use the exercise, right? I have something to do. Not really. I don't want to climb down this rope.
I sort of look at the assistant and I'm like,
have you got it secured? Can we climb down?
You're talking to one of your retainers?
Yeah, one of the retainers. I'm assuming there's a, like already a rope set up or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. They
or like an anchor, like maybe they're hammering in an anchor now or something like that to climb down.
Yep, they have tied it out the door to a large oak tree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It is well secured in a standard formation where they actually have like three ropes that are coiled together on three different trees for loading support. So there's this large, thick rope leading down the 6-foot shaft.
Yeah, so I sort of look at my two party members and they're not moving, and I'm just like,
oh, I get it. Send the half orc down first.
So I'll, you know, I'll do...
Everybody laughs. Oh!
Yeah.
Well, that's because if you fall down and hurt yourself, I'll still be okay to fix you up.
Yeah. So I guess I'll do an athletics check to see if I... How well I climb down this thing or how quickly I climb down it.
Sure.
Okay, here we go. First roll of the game. Don't fuck it up. 16. Yeah, not bad.
Okay. Yeah, you just kind of... It's pretty tight in here, especially with your huge pack. It is 6 feet wide, but with not a lot of room to maneuver, you shimmy your way down the rope. It's brand new rope, so it's not like rotted or rotting away or anything.
Mm-hmm.
You shimmy your way down about halfway. Get to the bottom of the rope. The rope, this shaft, the 6-foot by 6-foot shaft. You see, you looking down below you. It's pitch dark. Do half orcs have dark vision?
Yeah, they do. Yes. So as a human, you don't have any sort of dark vision either. So you might be hard pressed to see things.
Yeah. You look down. You're down there. The other two guys are still waiting up on top. Gormung, you look down and you see a well directly beneath you in a rectangular room that is there's about an inch layer of rubble and debris and dust and dirt and spider webs and normal dungeon-y type stuff.
Yeah, like it obviously no one's been down here in a long time just because of the amount of webs down here, I assume.
Absolutely.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, so I just, you know, I don't scream up or anything. I just sort of wiggle the rope up to say that I'm off.
Ooh, yeah, classic.
Yeah, and then I'll pull out my my glaive and sort of like try and like move some of the spider webs out of the way with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess I'll go next. You know, just age before beauty.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys see the rope wiggle and the universal sign for come down. It's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm wiggling my stumpy butt down the rope.
Make an athletics check for me. Oh, you did so already. Yes. Okay, great. Awesome. Easy. And then,
yeah.
Can't wait for the skinny one.
So if you guys made it, I'm sure I will as well. And that's athletics.
You can do acrobatics as well, I guess. I mean, maybe.
We'll call it athletics, especially for rope climb.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh.
Perfect.
Hey, this is a thick, well-kept rope. And you've got a squishy dwarf to break your fall if you do fall. You try to be cool. You try to slide down the rope, and you run into Pudmi, who's not even 20 feet down the rope yet. And you jump on his head a little bit before catching yourself.
Oi, you didn't wait for the signal.
Well, you didn't say you were going to give me a signal. I assumed you were quicker than this.
You see the length of my legs? Can't get anywhere very quick.
I feel like maybe I even get like tangled up and end up kind of hanging upside down a bit.
Ooh, that's
before I get to the end.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone fancy helping a chap out here? I seem to be a bit stuck.
You could always jump, and I could catch you.
Or we could leave him as bait.
No, the jumping sounds like good. Okay, well,
no, don't actually do that. I was making a joke.
Well, then don't suggest it or be more funny.
I thought it was hilarious, okay. But I still like the idea. Like the idea of leaving it for bait now sounds more promising, right?
Yes. We can put him at the front and have him lead that way.
So Gormung, Pudmi, and Grant, you guys are standing around the well. You smell a couple of things. First, you smell the obvious mildew, an old wet dungeon. You also smell what smells. It's a sickly sweet, kind of fermented, moldy type smell. Like there's some fruit nearby that's well gone bad. You also smell something like rotten eggs. It's a lot of rotten food type smells, and Gormung, you'd be especially privy to this. Mm. Definitely some kind of rotten eggs or rotten food nearby. This is a rectangular room about 20 by 40, and there are three exits leading out of this room. They're just passageways. They're not doors or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And other than this well, There is certainly a rope that leads down where theoretically there's a button, there's a bucket attached that leads down. You heard the torch splash in there, so there must be water down there still. But other than that, this is some kind of antechamber, some kind of greeting chamber, some kind of first chamber in this complex. What the use of the complex was for, who built it, those are all things that you guys don't know, but something you may investigate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are three exits to this room. One left, one right, one forward.
Well, there's only one way we can go. That's deeper. Though we have some options. I say we,
You know what? I turned to Grant and was like, I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 3.
3.
In middle it is.
Perfect. I assume we've done this before, just,
I always pick them. Like, regardless of what number you pick, it's always middle, right? Always like, middle. It's always middle.
Yeah. And every time I guess, like, differently, I'm always hoping that you're going to change.
Yeah, and that's, no, middle it is. Yep, every single time, yeah. Okay, so, Dungeoneering allows us to sort of like auto be on the lookout for traps and stuff like that. So,
no, you still have to say so. You still need to make investigation checks or actually, I don't think you get advantage on. You still have to make investigation checks. You don't get advantage. You get advantage to spot secret doors, mm-hmm. but it's still something you have to vocalize.
Okay, so who's like, Gormung's not really the type to spot traps. So, who here is our investigation mule?
I think I'll probably be on the lookout for.
In that case, what specifically are on the lookout for?
Welcome to Classic Dungeons and Dragons. Well, you don't see that trap, but you don't see that particular trap. It's like, yeah.
I mean, I.
Are you looking for traps or are you looking for secret doors?
Traps.
Okay. Make an investigation roll.
Right, right.
Wow. You're rolling with a plus six and you rolled a, yep. Three. Yeah.
Grant's a little rusty. He's looking around. He's saying, don't like that. Don't like those smells. It's kind of messing with his rods and cones. He's looking around. He's kind of moving some of the dust around. He tests all the bricks, doesn't find any pressure plates. He says, yep, this room looks good.
I'm just like tapping on the wall.
It takes up the better part of 20 minutes. This is why these expeditions take a long time. Got the 10-foot pole out.
Yeah, the 10-foot pole. Okay. Right.
So what happens next? What do you guys do?
Well, I mean, if I've been given the okay that the room is clear by resident Grant, I'm going to
100% clear. You'll be safe as houses. Believe me, I know houses.
So I'm gonna go to the middle door and I'm gonna see if I can open it.
They're not doors. They're just passageways. You can see into the next room.
Oh, okay.
There's a little short hallway. It's pretty dark in there, but you can see that it's certainly there's a lot of cobwebs that are kind of blocking your vision. And in fact, this passageway, about 10 feet through, is entirely spiderwebs. Now, one of the main problems that we're gonna find in this delve is that Grant. You can't see anything. It's dark in here.
Didn't I get some... Wasn't there some kind of broke thing that helped me see in the dark? Is that me
being... No, dark vision and stuff like that is specifically related to your race. Like, for example, myself and Nightmare's characters can see in the dark. But, you know, we gave up other things to be able to do that.
You are well-versed in the sight and the smells and feels and tastes of the dungeon, it does not affect your ability to see.
Yeah. Yes. So you will need to have a light source. Now, I guess I still haven't picked my fourth spell, which I could very easily take light as that spell. Which would solve a lot of problems, but we need magical items to do that. So your only option at this point is to... is there lanterns, Graham?
You can have a light source, yeah.
Can he have, like, specifically a lantern that he has on his, like, belt or something like that to free up his hands? Yeah.
Sure.
So maybe you have, like, a lantern or something like that that gives you... what do they call it? The pointed lantern, right? The one that's hooded lantern or something like that. Maybe you could have something like that.
I'm gonna call that the end of changing your any kind of inventory items. So make sure you have your inventory set.
Yeah. I wanted to ask about healing potions. Is that a possibility to get those before we go in?
Nope.
Nope. Okay. Didn't think so.
No such thing.
Cool. Cool.
No such thing. Handy.
All right. So. All right.
So we've got spider webs forward. What do you want to do? You continue to smell the sickly sweet fermenting fruit.
I assume I'm taking point on this.
I mean, if you can see and you feel comfortable doing it, you can. Yes, yeah. Bullseye lantern. That's what it's called. Yes.
Bullseye lantern, yes. Okay, yeah. Bullseye lantern.
We're gonna say you basically set it up to point to where you are looking at.
Yeah, it's like on your front part. Yeah, so you have like I think it's like, was it 30 feet of vision?
You have a good amount of flashlight.
Yeah. So make sure you have oil as well, because you'll probably run out of oil at some point.
Right, and that's one of those things that those guys have plenty of as well upstairs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, if you're leading, go ahead and lead.
Yeah, I'm assuming like the spider web stuff is thick but easily push throughable. It's not like, you know, just
you probably use your swords to cut it.
Yeah.
You're gonna do some you know, Congo Jack type.
Machete. Would I be able to do that with a rapier? Like, because that's what I've got on me. I don't know. Okay, cool. Yeah, no, I'll clear a little passageway. Enough for a dwarf or a human, maybe not for half orc.
You cut a little higher.
It's actually a lot easier than you remember. These are not being well familiar with Dungeon Denison. These are not like giant spiders' webs. These are not like deadly, murderous spiders. These are normal spider webs that happen to just live down here. And when you cut through the spider webs, you come to what can only be described as some kind of workshop. On the floor, you can see with your bullseye lantern, there's some soot all on the ground. You see tables around. But other than that, there's no like exits in this room.
So
this is some auxiliary workshop. And you see items that are, for what purpose, you can't tell. You can certainly make a check to try and see if you can determine what kind of.
Yeah, I have a question about how we identify magical items in this game. Since we don't have the ability to sort of. Well, we don't have a wizard in our party. We can't identify magic. So, what as experienced adventurers, how do we normally go about saying that yes, that ring is a magical item and that one is not? Like,
is there like an old man with a cane upstairs that we had to go talk to?
No, you can tell because of the nature, especially because of Hudmi and Gormung's ability to cast magic. You can tell the difference between, just because you can say, oh, I can destroy this to get spell slots.
So we just have that inherent ability to just be able to be like, okay, we know that that's something that we can use to get magic. Okay.
Right.
I'm just here to climb down ropes and find traps.
Yep.
And do it well.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is definitely some kind of workshop. For what purpose or for what tools, for what kind of crafting they were doing. It could be everything. It could be just some kind of auxiliary chamber. You don't hear anything. That rotten egg smell has disappeared almost entirely. But that sickly sweet smell remains. Mm-hmm. What do you do?
Let's first identify what this workshop was used for so we can get an idea of what this down and under this this whole place was supposed to be, I guess. Once we have an idea of what it is or what this place was underneath this monastery, maybe we can start finding like where they would have held items of import or anything like that, right? So what do we need to do to find that out?
Well, there's a number of things you can do. It depends on what you're looking for. So if you think this is some kind of religious workshop, you can make a religion check. It's some kind of just kind of general, not like what is this kind of place, you can make an investigation check. If you think this is some kind of if you want to make an arcana check, if this is some kind of arcane library or arcane workshop,
mm-hmm,
you can
mm-hmm.
do that. If you want to, you need to look at your skills and see
I've got insight, and that's about all I can do in this particular instance. So.
I have history and investigation.
You guys can make checks for things you don't have proficiency in.
Yeah.
I'm rolling badly already, I feel like.
There's just nothing stopping you.
Yeah. Okay. Let's. So maybe I can do an investigation here. Maybe I'm like walking around, like kicking things on the ground, and you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, an 18. That's not bad.
Okay. As investigation, you find a number of tools. They look almost like you would imagine dentistry tools look like. There are dentists out there in the main world. So you find a lot of little picks and a lot of little files. You find what can only be described as papermaking tools, something that you, you'd be familiar with having a book. You may have seen a book being made before.
Oh, so they're like, you know, pressing...
paper, wood pulp.
Yeah, wood pulp and stuff. Yeah.
It may not be wood pulp, but it's pulp of some sort to make paper. There appears to be a hide tanning rack. There are little vials that are long dry.
So maybe I uncork one of those and I smell it or something like that.
Yeah, make a perception check.
12.
It's definitely something acidic. It's definitely some kind of curing medium or some kind of curing some kind of wood stain or some kind of leather stain. It's definitely something caustic that would be used in this kind of crafting.
Mm. We might have some sort of tannery here or something.
It's not unlike vinegar in your terms.
Yeah.
Why would they have a tannery down here?
Maybe they had cattle down here. I don't know.
Yeah, there's good old dungeon cattle.
I've heard stories of people buying herds of cattle to walk through dungeons before.
Well, it would be an effective way. Do we have cattle? It'd be a good way to get rid of traps. We could get rid of the skinny ones.
I don't want to lift cattle downstairs, down that hole.
Maybe you let me down, I weigh about the same.
Yeah, but you have thumbs.
I do have thumbs.
And you have intelligence to climb a rope.
Debatable. Anything useful down here?
Well, it depends on your definition of useful. You've got all sorts of little small tools for making handicrafts and sort of like hobbyist tools, I guess you'd call them. Files and chisels and picks and stuff. Some scrap leather. These empty vials. Some clay pots. You've got what appears to be a little vial of gold dust, maybe, or something. There's a number of crucibles of various sizes lined up along one wall, at least one fireplace in the corner.
Okay. Is there any other exits on this room other than the one we came in?
Not in this room, just the one you came from.
Okay. So, I guess I'll sort of start making my way back into the other room, the one we came from.
Yeah, I'll follow suit and just say, looks like the middle one was the wrong choice.
Gormon, what is your passive perception?
My passive perception is 15. And that's passive wisdom, is perception, 15, yeah.
Fair enough. Just checking. Don't worry about it.
You walk down a hallway. What is it that you said in a tuve all the fucking time? God damn it. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I don't remember what it
was. Yeah. Okay, so...
Down the hallway, it's
completely unremarkable.
In every way, like, yeah.
It was... it's waterlogged, slanted from sitting or something. I don't know.
He said that over and over and over again in one campaign that just drove me fucking bonkers. Anyway.
The last one collapsed, and so that was the whole point.
Oh, yeah. So we head back in, and I just, I turn to Grant again. I'm like,
I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 2.
2.
Left it is.
So I'm gonna make a very crude map. I'm just the sort of room we started in. Just gonna put a square and then put a line to the middle one.
Just that can tick.
And just a little tick that guy. That one explored.
Yeah. When you get back into the center room, the rotten egg smell gets stronger.
Yeah. So. Maybe this can be an insight, but what do I know smells like that when it rots?
Make a...
Like, as a foodie, I'd assume that I've probably smelt that before.
Just make a basic intelligence check, but add your proficiency modifier.
Okay. So this would be a +3 then. So... 8.
Okay. Eggs.
is that your ass, or is that, do you guys smell that too?
Yeah, fart.
Just pee down here, right?
I think it's rotting eggs.
Maybe you should extinguish that lamp of yours for the time being.
But then I wouldn't be able to see.
Yeah.
And
isn't that a problem? hold on to my belt. Because like
you wouldn't be
girl.
Able to rely on me going first and finding all these traps that aren't
here. I'd rather not have something explode in my face.
Would you prefer to go first then? Because
you know what? Actually, you make a good point. You go first, keep your lamp.
Well, I bloody will then.
Make sure you stay at least like 10 feet.
And then I go forward and I go to the right.
Absolutely. All right.
I said left, actually.
I heard you.
Grant, what is your passive perception?
How do I figure that
That's
out?
That's on the very bottom of your attribute skills.
There. What is your perception modifier?
6.
It's 10 plus that. That's pretty good. You begin to move down the passageway, and your that fermented, moldy, rotten fruit type smell begins to get stronger and stronger. And this passageway goes for about 20 feet and then hooks immediately to the right.
Told you this was the right way.
Yep, and your instincts kick in as you begin to turn around the corner. You see a couple of things going first. You see a couple of things. Your lantern shows you a couple of things. You see a portcullis, an iron door, an iron grate that has been raised up immediately to the right of the corner. So you begin to turn the corner. You see this portcullis that's been raised further down. You see a enormous, comically oversized lever on the wall. Past that, you see another iron portcullis raised. Past that, you see another lever. And then finally, one third portcullis that's been raised up. In the room, in this hallway, this gated hallway that's got these raised gates, you see this fine yellow, almost luminescent dust. It reflects with the light from your lantern, and there's this strange film on everything, this strange yellow dust on everything. Further down the room, further down this hallway, you see that this hallway exits into a larger room. You cannot see most of the room, but you begin to hear, not there's not talking or anything, but you hear squishy, very light sounds. They sound like it's almost as if somebody was throwing a wet towel or somebody was dropping a wet towel on a stone floor or on the bathroom floor. It is very slight. It seems far away. There's a little bit of echo reverb to it. Your passive perception is just enough to pick this up. If you want to know something else, you'd need to make an active perception check.
I'll make an active perception check.
Okay.
Stop fapping, yeah. 17,
yes. You definitely hear. You hear what can they? Nope, it's not. They're not wet towels. They are footsteps of creatures that you may or may not be familiar with. Some kind of creature is down in this long room, that's separated between you and it, separated by three iron portcullis that have been raised up. You cannot see anything down there. You cannot hear anything besides what I've already described, but you can use your mastery of detecting noise and perceiving things to know that there are at least 4, if not 5, things in that larger room down the hall.
Okay, so I'm going to lower my voice and...
What about your light? Because your light's kind of...
Can I lower my light, or is it an on-off kind of thing?
You can, it's open or closed. So you can open it to make the more you open it, the wider the light's going to get. So you can turn it into just a little beam, but that's going to be more intense.
Yeah, I assume also, like, because it's so dark, it's kind of fairly obvious regardless of how
it, it is. It is obvious. Yes.
Yeah. I'll twiddle the light all the way out. For now.
You other two guys see him do this. You guys see the light. The light's kind of hurting your eyes. It's this whole your lights. You're becoming accustomed to using your dark vision exclusively, and his light is kind of making that a little bit difficult. It's a little bit disparate. You've got this incongruous situation going on. Your perceiving is kind of wonky, and you see him turn your light off, and that's immediately apparent to you because you've been you've been wrestling with that. So what do you guys do?
I guess I sort of walk to the front of the group, and maybe I sort of like sort of lean down a little bit and whispers like, "What do you see?"
Well, I just turned the light off, so nothing now.
Don't be a smartass.
Very funny. Oh.
I mean, you know, you take what you can get, right? I think it's, I heard something up there. I don't know what it is. And there sounds to be a few of them. So I think my turn's done. And now it's yours. Very go on ahead.
Yeah, so I'll take out the glaive and I'll sort of slowly make my way into the room.
Okay, so you have to go past these portcullises. Using your dark vision, you can see very distinctly these portcullises and this dusty film. And as you walk through the room, and pardon me, you see this as well if you're looking down the hallway. You see that as he steps on the floor, that dust is kind of rising into the air. It's causing this very light film to be carried along the air with him. He's kind of generating this cloud at his feet, like pig pens and peanuts.
Is there any way that I can like preemptively cover my mouth with like a rag or something like that?
Absolutely. Yeah, that would be just pure instinct. You say, "Ooh, some kind of dust." Yeah. You know, dusts are bad. But the
I probably got like a neck thing because I'm like an adventurer, so I just sort of pull that up or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. You guys are like black ops.
Yeah. So when Padme walks past me, I'd like to basically grab onto him so I can, you know, follow behind the other two.
I have a little rope handle. Yeah.
And I'm just like, tell me if I need to duck, okay?
All right.
Boy.
Tell me Gormog, if you need to duck. I need you to make a stealth check.
Yeah.
I can try. Maybe that. I should have led.
Oh, I mean, if we need to hit something. 11.
Boom.
11. You all hear that same sound I described earlier, like a wet towel hitting the floor. And they happen in sequence very, very rapidly. Like whatever it was that was in there has now sprung to action, is now actually moving at quite a pace. For about 2 seconds, you hear smack, 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 and then nothing.
All right.
Now you're about halfway down the hallway now. You've passed one portcullis, you're underneath a second portcullis, and there's a third portcullis. They're all open.
All right, so these levers on these portcullises, I'm going to go back to the first one and pull it so that it drops the portcullis. I'm assuming it drops the portcullis down, right?
Okay. Are you doing it so the other two are trapped on the other side, or they're here with you?
They're here. Oh, so we have to pass under a portcullis to get to where we are?
Right.
Okay, I thought they were like portcullises to extra hallways. Okay, no, in that case, I won't do that.
Okay.
We'll just keep going forward, yeah.
Very obvious levers everywhere. Yeah. Probably shouldn't touch them.
I can't see them anyway.
That's probably for the best. You don't want to see the things in the darkness.
What's
that behind you?
Shut up.
Likewise, pardon me. Likewise, with Gormung, you are starting to accumulate this dust. I need Pudmi and Grant to make constitution saving throws.
Okay.
Because this stuff is very fine.
Sorry, I'm trying to find where that is.
It's just under dexterity.
Constitution.
You just click the word constitution.
And oh, I just do a... Okay, yeah, I've clicked. Boom.
Despite your best efforts, you guys both managed to sneeze loudly.
Hachu.
Gormung, this surprises you. What do you guys do now? Do you guys do it change anything or just freeze?
Yeah, I just sorry. I stop moving and I sort of just turn around and I just look at the guys behind me. I'm like,
Really?
That's
very dusty in here.
Gormung, you are walking down the hallway. The last little third of this hallway, your foot touches something. You look down, you see a couple of little mushrooms peeking out from in between cracks in the mortar.
Yeah, so maybe I sort of look at them and was like, are they mushrooms that I would recognize?
Make a nature check.
Shit, maybe I should try and get nature. Oh, 21 fucking flogged it. Damn.
Never mind.
these are natural mushrooms. These are mushrooms you're familiar with. Mm. They grow outside though. These are not subterranean mushrooms. Subterranean mushrooms are more stringy. Sometimes they're bioluminescent. These are forest fungi.
Yeah. So just for chat, real quick, there's two numbers that get rolled every time because. In D&D 5e, you roll 2d20 every time you attack, because one is presumed to be an advantage roll. So if you have advantage or you spend inspiration, for example, you take the higher of the two. And if you're at disadvantage, you take the lower of the two. So generally, when you look at the rolls, look at the one on the left as the default one, unless we say, okay, you have advantage, so you take the higher one. That's pretty much the breakdown of that.
Which is why I wasn't happy about my 4 and 17.
Yeah. You take the one on the left first. So if these are mushrooms that I've seen outside, I'll just bend down and pick them up and take them with me.
Okay.
Just pack them.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know they're not poisonous. These are standard white cap. These are standard white cap mushrooms.
Yeah. I'll make a famous two mushroom soup.
Yep. Tonight. You come to the edge of this hallway where the hallway turns into a larger room. You can this overwhelming fermented fruit smell is just, I mean, you put this rag over your mouth, but you can still smell it through the rag despite your
it's not perfumed or anything like that, so.
But you begin to smell something else, and those two guys back there who don't have rags over your mouth, you begin to smell some kind of it's almost like you would smell lye soap back in town. It's like what we would describe as just household cleaner. It's got this very basic bleachy type smell to it, and it's what you would describe as lye soap, or rather something like a powdered soap. Now, Gormung, you are right there, ready to enter this room. You see a lot of things, but before you can get a good look at anything, something nearly sprays into your face. I need you to make, first of all, a dexterity saving throw.
Okay. 21, crushed it.
Oh, yep. You immediately leap back from the 5-foot-tall humanoid-shaped mushroom man that was poised to spray some kind of toxic spore in your face. You leapt back, almost back to the first portcullis. The two guys are behind you are nearly bowled over by Gormung as he to avoid this poisonous spray. I need you guys to roll initiative.
Why did you tell me to duck?
These are creatures that you may have seen before. These are myconids. These are mushroom men.
Yep. Yep. Okay.
Right. Initiatives. Tell them. Report them to me, please.
18 for me. 13 for Pudmai, and 24 okay. for Grant, which is a crit, by the way, in case that means anything.
Okay. Grant, what do you want to do? The mushroom man, the myconid, who was about to spray Gormung, comes into view along the hallway.
Assumedly, I can't see that though.
Oh, yeah. that's totally true. No, you cannot. However,
so the first thing I probably want to do is try and turn on my, yeah.
The myconids are vaguely bioluminescent. You can see some kind of light in there, but it's not good enough to see.
Okay. Yeah. No. I think the first thing I'd like to do is turn on my little lamp.
Okay. So with do that. Great.
Yeah.
We'll call that a bonus action.
Okay. And I think Well, I mean, so how wide is the is this kind 10 of foot. Hallway?
Standard dungeon size, 10 foot yes. by 10 foot.
Okay, so it's easy enough to get past the other two to kind of get forward.
If that's what you want to do, yeah, you're about, at this point, you're about 30 feet away from the mushroom man who is now blocking your guys' way into the room.
How far away am I from him? Because it's important for my...
About five. You're about 10 feet. Since you left back, you're about 10 foot now.
Okay. So if he moves within that space, I get an attack of opportunity.
You do. Yes, yeah. You have a reach weapon, correct?
Yeah, I do. I have 10 foot of reach, so...
Right.
So I'm gonna move forward, if I can, up mm-hmm. to the point where I'm just behind Gormung, because yeah, I know right. from experience that he doesn't discriminate too well when he's swinging that thing.
Okay, I guess we're making shit up now, huh?
I mean, do you disagree? I mean, if you feel like maybe you're a bit more precision based.
I mean, it's a pole arm, so yeah. I mean, I would assume that you would know not to fucking stand in the way of a guy swinging a big stick, but that's the other side of the fancy stew, I guess.
Grant, anything else?
Is there anything else I can do?
Let's set a precedent here. Are we allowed to like out of party talk about combat and stuff, or like how do we want to do this?
You can. I'll tell you when to cut it out.
Okay. So I might suggest maybe trying to set this thing on fire, if I were you. But like light a torch, throw it at it or something. I don't know.
Sure. You guys are experts. You've seen these before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sheepdog. With decision, there's a few things in combat. You don't always have to attack in combat. You can either. You have multiple options. You can choose to help, which will help Henley on his next deck roll advantage. You can ready an action. You say, if that thing comes within 5 feet of me, I want to attack it. So that precedent will happen. You could, I think it's called dodge. You can impose disadvantage on the next attack against you. As a rogue, you could try to hide behind Henley and make yourself less of a noticeable target.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Set yourself up for next turn.
Yeah, so as a rogue, you actually have the ability to stealth up. So you have cunning action as well, which is really important as a rogue, because what you can do is when you get into combat with someone, if you try and leave that combat, they get an attack of opportunity from you, unless you use your disengage thing, which for most people is an action. But for you, that's a bonus action. Now your bonus action in this instance was turning on the lamp to see. Yeah. But if you wanted to, you could run up, attack something, and then dash out of
bonus action disengage.
Yeah, of the
okay.
Yeah. So essentially, what it is you could basically run up, attack, and then move out. But since you've used your bonus action to turn on your lamp, you can't do that this turn. And you can also use it to hide, meaning that you can use your bonus action to hide and then attack in the same turn. And do like your
sneak attack
damage, which is an extra, what, 3d6 or something like that at your level?
For you, I believe it's 3d6.
It's 3d6, yeah.
Yeah. So you have some options, right? At fifth level, you're pretty strong, and you just need to make aware that your bonus action is basically your currency as a rogue, so.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So seeing as I can't kind of go in and attack, I guess either a hide or a...
Well, you've already used your bonus action, so you can't hide. But I guess you can...
You could attack, or you could make some more movement. You could throw something if you had something to throw. I'll let you light a torch as an action if you want to do that, like you said.
Then
light a torch is probably the best option, really.
Done. Okay. What do you want to do?
It's within 10 feet of me, right?
Yeah, right at the edge.
Yeah, I'm going to attack it then.
Okay.
Now, as a fighter, at level 5, I get 2 attacks, I believe. Okay. I get an extra attack, and I also have my bonus action for doing an extra d4 worth of damage. Now, I don't remember if it's like, if I have to attack it with an extra d4. As a bonus action, you can make a melee attack. Okay. And that does have my proficiency bonus, by the way. So maybe I'll make another glaive weapon here. Anyway, I'll do that in a second. So, first attack, that's probably a hit.
Yep.
For 6. Second attack, also another hit for 10. And then a bonus action.
Okay.
1d20 plus 7. Yeah, 9. That's not a hit, most likely.
No, that misses.
Yeah, so I do 16 damage.
No. What else?
You
covered up pretty good. You even cut one of his arms off.
Yeah, so that's pretty much all I'm going to do. So is it when he comes in 10 feet, like if he's 15 feet to 10 feet, I get a bonus action, or is it when he's 10 feet to 5 feet, I get a reaction?
If you were to take the guard action.
No, I mean, with my Polearm Master, I gain
You'll have to read me the text.
So when you're wielding a glaive, halberd, pike, or quarterstaff, other creatures provoke an attack of opportunity from you when they enter your reach.
Okay, he's already in your reach, so he can't enter your reach now.
Okay, yep, that's what I was after. Cool, no worries. All right. That's it, that's what I'm doing.
Pardon me, what do you want to do?
I'm going to waddle up. You know, I'm not quite close to them because my little legs can only go so far. And I'm going to pull out my my spear, and I'm going to chuck a spear at this thing.
Chuck a spear at him. Good. Go ahead. 22. Hits. How much damage?
I don't know how to do this. I apologize.
You click the little button there. Yeah.
Which one?
The one that says spear on your when you attack.
Yeah, I did that. Oh, maybe did I not add the damage?
Yeah, you might not add the damage, yeah.
It's on there. Oh, that's why I didn't add the crit damage. That's probably why it broke. Okay, let's try that again. Or not. I'll just roll.
Just roll your damage manual. That's okay.
Right.
Damage. Okay, this mushroom man, despite the severe damage, despite its grievous wounds, it manages to stay upright. It's got a spear through his kind of meaty torso, his trunk, as it were. He's got an arm that's lying on the ground, twitching, but it has still managed to keep his feet. It is guarding. It is guarding this room with its life. The creature will. He will do the same thing that it tried to do to Gormung, and he will do that to Gormung again. Gormung, I need you to make a Constitution saving throw again.
Okay. Constitution? Sure.
Yep.
8.
No. You are stunned for 1 minute.
Okay.
At the end of all your turns, you can make the saving throw again. You have to beat a DC of 11. Okay.
Okay. At the end of my turn?
The end of your turn, so you're definitely going to be stunned for one turn.
Yeah,
the end
no
of
your worries. Next
turn. At the end of that turn, you can save out of it. At that point, the Myconid is going to move within melee range of. He's going to move that rest of that 5 feet to melee range with Gormung, and he is going to punch him. He's going to like double tap punches to the face while he is stunned. So you guys see, you guys both see this.
No, 18 AC, even with stunned.
17 misses, and 21 that hits.
Okay.
I'll just roll it on because I don't have a D4 handy.
Sure.
All right. So you take 4 bludgeoning damage and 4 bludgeoning damage and 4 poison damage.
Okay.
That sickly sweet fermented moldy smell is just. I mean, this is clearly where it's coming from. Okay. There are, you see a couple of things further into the room, even while stunned. The rest of you guys see this as well. There are some creatures that have come for backup, and they clearly aren't mushroom in it. Instead, they are 2 burly, furry, blue-furred, blue-skinned, clearly blind. They have these glowing, just blast-over gray eyes, and these jagged teeth. Their arms are longer than their knees go to. They are these lumbering, furry beasts. they will get into a line and they will charge at Pudmi because he would be actually, I guess Grant is actually next in line. Okay.
Yeah.
Grant, one of those things is going to attack you, and one of them is going to attack Gormung. Okay. Gormung, the first one, they've got these just akimbo, wild, long arms. Gormung, the first one is going to attack you. It rolls 20. Does that hit?
Yeah, I have an 18 AC.
Okay, 20 hits. You take 8 slashing damage.
Okay.
With these claws. And Grant, does 16 hit your armor class?
I have 16.
Okay. You take 6 slashing damage. These guys make 2 attacks. Gormung, the second one, or the first one, misses his second attack. Mm-hmm. And Grant, I assume 9, misses your armor class. So the second attack misses as well. These things are just flailing arms at you. They appear not to be fighting at any particular level of skill or finesse. They are just wildly throwing their forearms at you and their claws at you. Grant, what do you want to do?
So I've got 1 in combat with me, correct?
Right.
To go after the big guy, I'd have to disengage and then kind of go around.
You would have to disengage and then also move around the other one who's attacking.
So you could use your bonus action to disengage.
Right.
And then you can move and then you can attack if you wanted to.
Okay, so...
So it's worth pointing out too that you, in order to use your second weapon, it is your bonus action as well.
Okay, so I can only use the...
Disengage or you can make that second attack.
Yeah. So you notice on your sheet how I made an offhand weapon for you?
Yeah.
When you do your bonus action attack, you click the first one and then your offhand weapon because the offhand doesn't have your proficiency bonus attached to it, so... Actually, hang on. I realize I've been making these character sheets wrong, so but my last attack still should have hit. Let's see here. Let me fix this for you. Yes, that is definitely wrong. You should not be rolling at a plus 14. Yep. Okay. So you are. That should be better. Yep. Now you're ready to go.
Sweet. I think let's take a stab at these blue things. And so I do my
2 attacks.
I do my.
So what you can do, right? If you wanted to, because you do extra damage with sneak attack, you could, for example, use your bonus action to hide, like maybe hide behind me or something like that, or like whatever it is that you need to do, and. Then you can. I mean, Graham, that's really up to you whether or not he's even has the possibility to hide right now. I guess, right? So,
I mean, I'm kind of the beacon of light at the moment. I guess it would probably
right. be quite... If you turned your thing off, if we were in a room with stuff in it, I'd let you do it. But since we're in a featureless hallway,
So the idea is that hiding makes you like you know you sort of just duck out of the eyesight of someone like and hit them from their flank or something like that. But because of the way that it's going right now, you might not be able to do that. Potentially that's not an option. So maybe you can just dual attack, right? Just attack 2 times with your rapier.
Yeah.
If you wanted to do that,
I'll do the dual attack. So it's using both of these rapiers, right?
Yeah. So you click one and then you click the other. Yeah.
Okay.
15. Yeah,
2 15s. Yeah. Okay. 2 hits. 2 damage, please.
How do I?
Just click the C on your roll. How it rapier? Says... Yeah. Just click rapier on the roll.
I did. I thought, I see what you mean.
On the roll 20 itself.
Okay. Yeah, so that's the rapier, and then there's the offhand.
Yeah, so he got 21.
21 total damage, yeah. So you launch into this blue creature, furry creature, looks almost like a wolf standing on 2 legs. 21 points of damage. You get the sense now that you've done some points of damage to this thing. These things are not worried about getting hit. They are not worried about survival. They are punching bags that are that have put been put in front of you for some kind of purpose.
Okay.
Gormung, what do you want to do? These things are punching bags.
Well, I'm stunned, right? So,
stunned. You want to make that saving throw again? Constitution?
Yeah, if I make the saving throw, can I action surge to attack?
The saving throw happens at the end of your turn.
Okay, but can I action surge to do the saving throw, or like?
No.
No. Okay. All right. So
unless you can action, I don't believe you can action surge outside of your turn.
No, I don't think I can. So I'll do that. But I'll also can I use a God? That wasn't my constitution, but that's okay. It's the same thing. Okay. I still have a 4, so. Can I second wind?
Second wind is a what kind of action?
It's bonus. A bonus. Yeah. It'd be D10 plus my level, so health.
No, you need to wait until your next turn.
Okay, that's fine.
It's a bonus action that occurs on your turn, unless you could hold your action, which you can't really do.
I can't do that. Yeah. So yeah. I guess I'm ready now for receiving attacks.
With me, what do you want to do?
I'm going to go up and Warhammer this thing. I'm going to Warhammer the mushroom.
The mushroom guy, okay, fine. So you're going to move past the two creatures?
Yes.
Because they're like invoking in front of you, right?
Invoking attacks of opportunity from both of them?
Yeah. Well,
so I'm confused on our placement. So we have... Okay. Mormon, Grant, me, and two creatures, and then the mushroom guy?
Right. Mushroom guy's furthest away from you?
He's the furthest back. Oh, never mind then.
I'm imagining it looking like this, yeah.
Yeah. No, then I'll stand, you know, shoulder to shoulder with Gormund, and we'll smack a booting.
Okay.
Sure. Let's see, I wanna smack the one that's not looking so great.
Okay.
The one that got stabbed. Or not.
Oh no.
Like.
Not today.
Not today. Nope, that's all I got.
Okay, that's all you got? Okay. Yeah. The mushroom man, the Myconid, is going to take this opportunity. He believes you to be stunned, Gormung. He is going to run away.
Alright, I get an attack of opportunity then, I guess.
You do.
Hey, that's my spear!
That's our dinner.
That's our dinner. Yeah. Let's see. 13.
That just hits.
Okay. Cool. 14 damage. Good God.
14 points of damage. Yeah. You cut the Myconid's head from his body, and it just kind of plops to the ground in a sickeningly wet heap.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's.
Okay. The two Quaggiths, the two creatures, will continue to take attacks. They appear to not be fazed whatsoever by that creature's demise. Grant, I've got one on you, and I've got one on Gormung again, okay?
Okay, yeah, go for it.
Okay. So Grant, 20 hit your armor class?
It does.
Jesus Christ, these things are working us.
Yeah. Gormung, your 14 doesn't hit.
Wait, who was the first attack on? They do two attacks. Yeah, that's right. So, yeah.
Grant, you take 5 slashing damage.
Broderer.
The third attack is a natural 1, so nothing. And then Gormung, I've got a 22 versus armor class.
Yeah.
So 6 slashing damage on you as well.
Damn.
Just akimbo arms, right?
Yeah. Akimbo.
As far as you can tell, nothing else seems to be coming your way at this particular instance, but you begin to smell something very strong coming from further in the room where the creatures were originally. Something else is happening, and what that is unclear to you at this particular moment. It's your passive perception isn't enough to get any sort of additional information. Grant, what do you want to do?
I'm guessing, you know, it's still not really viable to slip away and hide.
You can disengage, and now that mushroom guy's out of the way, you can go into the room and hide.
Yeah, okay. Let's see if we can take down these blue guys. So I'm going to go in with my rapiers again.
Okay.
That's a miss, I'm guessing.
Ten is a miss. Six is a miss.
Yes. So hang on a second. You remember you have any time that you attack first that on a creature that hasn't acted in combat, you also get an advantage. So you need to remember that.
Oh, I do?
Yes, you do. So okay. If you attack the mushroom, for example, you, before he attacks, since you were going first on your initiative, you would have got advantage on it.
Yeah.
But, you know, that doesn't count now. But that's the other thing that you have. So.
Sorry, one other thing. As a reaction, you can reduce half damage you take from an attack.
Okay.
Just if you can see the attacker. You can see the attacker and you get hit, you receive half the damage as a reaction.
On every hit or just... Well, one time thing.
You have one reaction in a turn.
Yeah, one reaction.
Okay.
Kind of like how I use my reaction to like hit people when they come into my combat zone or my reach, or when they leave my reach. But you can use that to like remove half the damage. So it's only one attack though per turn.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
So for example, if you use your reaction because they move out of your thing, and you get an attack on opportunity, you then can't use the. What's it called? Uncanny Dodge, I believe it's called. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Grant, anything else?
No, I believe not.
Okay. Little rusty. Grant's a little rusty coming down in the dungeon. Mormung, what do you want to do?
I'm going to wheel around and attack the thing that Grant's been attacking.
All right, let's do it.
What did you mentioned something that smelt different?
Yeah, you saw something very strong further into the room where the other one comes from. The one on the ground is dead. Nothing has changed with that. But do you want to make a perception check to see if you notice?
Yeah, as long as that doesn't take away any of my stuff. No. Yeah,
it's just
11.
Okay. That sickening sweet smell that you have smelled before has turned into a very bitter, very pungent odor, as opposed to the kind of perfumey, kind of moldy smell that it was before.
Okay.
You also, with that perception, you hear footsteps similar to the one you heard before, but heavier.
Okay. Okay. Shit. I'm still gonna, like, now with my multiple attacks, is that one target, or can I, like, attack, kill this guy, and then attack my second attack on a different thing?
Yeah, you can do either, both. I mean, both creatures.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so I'm gonna do that. So, first attack on Grant's thing is 22, which I assume is a hit, for yep. 5. Second attack, is that dead?
Nope.
Okay. Second attack, for 14 on the same creature.
It's
for 9, so total of 14 damage.
You have skewered this creature through the belly, and just like it's got black lifeblood falling out of it, it's got this horrible brackish odor coming out of it now as you've pierced some kind of sac inside of it. You see, with your dark vision, you see that this blood that this creature is oozing out is caked. It has suspended in it just a million little particles of the same very fine mold that was in this hallway to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then with my bonus action, I'm going to use my second wind.
Okay.
So 1d10 plus 5. 11. All right, great. Okay.
Pardon me, what do you want to do?
Let's hit it with a hammer, right?
Let's do it.
Basic.
Oh, is the creature dead, by the way?
No. Absolutely not.
Okay.
It seems to be unfazed by its blood spilling out of its meat bag.
Okay. Some sort of undead, maybe. Yeah. There you go.
8 bludgeoning damage. Good. It still stands, but only just.
Why does it roll twice for you? That's weird.
Because it can be a D8 or a D10.
Oh, you variable?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. The two creatures, the two quaggiths. Grant, he's continuing. He's got this single-minded attitude. Two attacks on you, 12 misses, 20 hits. Grant, you take 8 points of slashing damage.
Yeah, you remember, you can half that with your reaction if you wanted to.
Yeah, can I half that? So that's 4?
Yep,
and that takes up your reaction for the turn.
Okay.
And then here's one on, two attacks on Gormung again. 19.
Yep.
And 22, Jesus Christ.
These things are rough, man. All right, yeah.
What are eight slashing damage and 5 slashing damage.
Fuck, dude. So 13 damage in total. Like, I'm glad I second win, so.
Yeah. All right. Gormung, you feel something at the very base of your neck. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't feel like anything. It's not hurtful. It doesn't feel like anything like boring in or like a shot or anything. It's just a tickle. It's like somebody has touched the back of your neck, like the hair on the back of your neck.
Okay.
You turn. You glance behind you. There's nothing there.
Okay.
And those footsteps you heard before, they confidently stride the other direction.
Like the direction back into the room or further down?
Yep, away from you guys.
Can I put my hand where I got tickled? Is there like a dot or something there? Or?
Yeah, you touch the back of your neck and you pull your hand forward. That you see some more of that little yellow dust, that little yellow mold, like a little cake, like a little, almost like the size of a fingerprint.
Okay, yeah. All right. Now,
Grant, what do you want to do? Oh, yeah, something else?
Yeah. It's fine. I can't do anything about it anyway, so.
Grant, what do you want to do?
Let's finish this blue dude off.
Okay.
So, eight.
Yes.
And
I believe you mean natural one.
Natural one, yeah.
You know, and a 12.
12 misses.
Doing well. Can I, so am I kind of in with both of these guys or?
Yeah. All
right.
You've used your bonus action already, so you can't disengage. Yeah.
That was a reaction.
Okay.
That was a reaction. You still have a bonus action.
I thought the bonus action was the
offhand weapon. Yeah.
The offhand weapon.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But I still have a reaction this round, correct?
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
The round.
So with my awesome power of rolling, I hand the turn off.
Gormung, excuse me. Gormung.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going
this thing is just bleeding this spore filled ooze.
Yeah, I'm just going to continue to attack it, I suppose.
Let's do it.
Yeah. 24?
Oh, yeah.
For 13?
Yeah, you decapitate it. Dead. Cool.
I move on to the second blue guy.
Yeah, let's do it.
11. Probably not enough.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I'm going to use my bonus action to bash it.
Okay.
For 23?
Oh, yeah.
And 6 bashing.
The creature will, there's only one left. It has no sense of strategy. It has no sense of, self-preservation. It's just going to throw itself bodily at Gormung because as far as you can tell, that's who he was attacking before. He's going to continue to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
15 misses.
Yeah.
8 misses.
Mm-hmm. It's coming up, Milhouse.
Been taking attacking tips from me.
Finally.
It's been observing my
that very pungent smell goes away.
Yeah.
Grant, what do you do? Pardon me, did I skip you?
Yes. Jeez. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
No worries. It's not gonna be any fancy. You're just gonna smack with the Warhammer.
Hit it with the hammer.
I'm not, lad.
Miss it with the hammer. Well, you should have been watching me as well, mate.
A natural one and a natural 20.
And a natural 20.
I got the unicorn.
Too bad. All right, back to Grant then.
So I'm assuming and slash hoping that it's distracted enough that it won't be able to...
It doesn't appear it's capable of being distracted.
Yeah.
It appears perpetually distracted.
So,
well, I was just...
could he... sorry for interrupting here, but could you use your bonus action now that he's focused on me to hide and then do a...
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
You can always try.
Because it was attacking...
Just because I say... he could see where he might see. Doesn't mean you still can't try. Because if you roll 20 or something, anything's possible.
Yeah, so you have to roll a stealth to do the hide action. Yeah, so you can use your bonus action to roll a stealth check to hide.
Yeah.
And then if you succeed, then you'll hide. And then you can use your attack action to attack and do bonus actions, which is 36 extra damage. So
It just seems like he's, you know, single-mindedly attacking. So
yeah.
That is exactly what it appears to be.
I would like to... use my bonus action to hide.
Very
or try attempt it. So is that stealth?
Yep.
Yes.
22.
Got it. See you anymore, you just vanish.
So then can I just go straight into an attack with at him?
Mm-hmm.
And what's the roll? Is that
you just now you take your sneak attack damage?
Yeah. So you attack and then you do your normal attack and then you also do sneak attack damage on top of it. So
which is 3d6.
Which is 3d6, but right. You roll that manually. So yeah.
Okay. So
just hit your rapier. Yep. 19. Hits. Yeah. So you roll your damage on your rapier.
Damage and then
roll 3d6 separately. Yeah.
Oh goodness.
So what's that, like 23?
Yeah, you stab it like up the base of the neck, like up through its skull into its brain, and it just falls limp dead, one hit.
And then I say, I think we chose the wrong way.
That's why I said left.
Now, Graham, I'm going to take out my water sack and I'm going to pour it down the back of my neck, see if I can get rid of this.
Call. Okay, yeah, you get that stuff off. It just washes away.
Yeah, I'm going to get rid of it, yeah. Do I? And then I touch it again. Is it still there?
No.
It's like, Pudmi,
can you just look in the back of my neck? I felt something weird there.
He'll need a stepladder.
You got a box.
No, I'll crouch down.
Come down here.
Yeah.
Come here.
Do you have a yellow pages?
I'm like looking at the back of his neck. Can I roll a medicine, see if there's any long-lasting effects?
Absolutely.
Nine.
You're fine.
Your familiarity with spores and stuff is they typically have to be inhaled to be effective. So you think he's probably fine.
And so I'm gonna like lick my thumb and I'm gonna slap his neck. You're fine.
All right. I smelled something coming from this other room.
Is it still there?
What did you smell?
Sickly, sticky,
pungent. Yeah,
pungent.
Like a bad mustard.
You know, I heard footsteps as well.
Mm-hmm. Should we send the skinny one in?
So we go back the other way?
Both work.
So, just looking down the hallway where this room is, mm-hmm. What do we see in the other room?
With your, you see a lot of stuff. You see what appear to be bookshelves. You see some kind of symbols marked into the floor, carvings, and what appear to be statuettes, books, candles, quills, ink, pages, vials of colorful liquids. You see a lot of stuff in this room that appears relatively untouched.
It seems like a good place to go.
So I look at the dwarf and I'm like, seeing as you were the only one who wasn't attacked by a fluffy pillow, maybe you go first this time.
I didn't choose to go this way. You chose to go this way.
I did say left.
I chose right. Clearly there's something this way. I mean, I'm just saying, you know. we're both hurting. Like,
hey, yeah, what does a healer's kit actually do for us mechanically?
It allows you to stabilize something. It has a certain number of uses. I think it has 10. It means you have 10 chances to automatically stabilize. They're not chances. You automatically stabilize somebody.
Yeah, it can either I can stabilize you for 1 HP, or I can use it to actually heal you for 1d6 plus 4 plus your level. But you can only do that once per short rest.
All right. Are you able to like slap some of that on me? Because I'm down to half health already from one fight. So
I am definitely able to slap some on you.
Okay.
So what happens when food attacks you?
So what does this look like? What is your healing? How do you do it?
So it's a paste or something. Old, like satchel on my hip. Yeah. So just open it up and just cuts all sorts of like little tiny vials and strips of cloth and you assume is kind of ointment and stuff. So I'm just taking a rag. I'm like, all right, take the pants off.
Do I have to?
If you want to be a party pooper, I guess not. So, what about you, Skinny One? You gonna take your pants off?
Is that some kind of dwarven healing technique?
Sure.
So I get right. 11 HP. Is that what you're saying?
I'm in.
All right. You will gain 10.
Wow, these rolls. So, I like it's not so bad. It's a D6. So, okay, yeah, I feel a little better. Like maybe I'm just sort of like, you know, the scratches or whatever it is that hit me. You just sort of paste them up or something. Yeah,
I'm feeling a lot better. Thank you. Taking my pants off worked. Who knew?
All right, so I guess with that, I sort of will lead into the next room.
Okay. So yeah, this room is clearly, there's something clearly arcane that this room is used for. Anybody can make arcana checks if you want to see if you can glean some additional information.
I'm looking for whatever the fuck we hit me before, to be honest with you. I'm not so worried about the other stuff.
You can make perception or you can investigate.
I'm going to make a perception straight up. Just try see if I can find signs of where it was, because I heard walking, so, you know.
Yeah.
14.
There are round, circular, brackish footprints that lead from here to another passageway that leads off of this room to the left. So there's another passageway, and there are these brackish, circular footprints that lead to the left from where you guys are right now. This room that you're in is relatively small. It may not have been for this purpose originally, but there are a lot of open books. There are candles that are half burned. Incense in little vials. There's like a whole line of vials along one shelf, full of liquids. There is a symbol on the floor that appears to be it appears nefarious.
Nefarious. Yeah. Okay.
As most geometry does.
Yeah. Fucking geometry. How long would you say we've been down here? Maybe like half an hour or something.
10 minutes.
Jesus Christ. 10 minutes. Time to go back for the rest. No, it's like,
hell of a 10 minutes, guys.
Okay.
The people are still up there having lunch. You don't want to go back now.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just kind of...
I don't know. I could eat lunch, to be honest.
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, I just sort of maybe... I sort of just sit and maybe if there's a chair, I assume there's like something to sit on or whatever. So I just watch the hallway.
This is definitely some kind of study. There's a good amount of soot on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good amount of scorch marks on the ceiling and the walls.
Yeah.
In here, some of the flagstones on the floor are cracked. The pentagram, the geometry, the symbol, is surrounded by a small half foot tall stone wall. It's kind of like a little bowl, some kind of pit.
Yeah, so I'm not really the I'm sort of like the support man of the group. I'm not really in it to like investigate like books and arcane trickery shit. So I just sort of maybe drag a chair and just sit it at the hallway and just watch for things coming down. I'm just like
kick your feet up.
Yeah, no, well, not so much kick my feet up, but I'm on scout duty. I'm just sort of watching the other hallways that we haven't cleared yet.
Okay.
Leaving the exploring and investigating up to the people who are good at it. So,
Okay. You guys want to do some investigating?
So I'm assuming our kind of our outing here is to search for any kind of like magical. We don't have like specific targets to
magic like stuff. Items.
Yeah. Yeah, just kind of okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'll have a general once around the room looking for anything.
Okay, if you're looking for magical stuff, make an arcana check.
Tits. Okay. Never mind.
20.
Yep. Yeah. You notice a couple of things. This is definitely some kind of conjuring circle.
Yeah.
This is used to conjure something from somewhere. Excuse me. The line of vials along the wall are definitely potions of some sort or another. They are, and when you grab them, you can tell. Like this one, I can pop the top, I can smell, it's kind of pepperminty, definitely healing potion.
Okay.
You also find these books are written in a language you don't understand. What languages do you speak?
Okay, so you said we found a healing potion?
Hold on.
I only took common. I didn't take a second one. I couldn't find the list of languages.
Okay.
I remember now.
So you can't. So you're not familiar with this language.
No.
But you see a couple of things. You see a couple of things that are written in common. They appear to be names, as you would write proper nouns in their native tongue. You see three names. They are Asmodeus, Demogorgon, and Orcus.
Demogorgon.
A two-headed dog man with tentacles for hands.
Yeah, if you had anyone to watch Stranger Things, it's very familiar to them. Yeah. So.
Demon Lord of the Gnolls.
Yeah. So I'm just going to make a handout that should be available for everyone okay. to see. It's called Inventory for stuff we find, I guess.
Okay.
It'll be assumed that probably I would be carrying it, mostly because... Okay. Yeah.
You find three of these pepperminty potions. They are you're familiar with potions of healing. What they taste like, they don't really go bad. They could have been here for millennia, for all you care. But they are basic healing potions. Three of those, and then the rest of them all appear identical. They are clear liquid with little. Like not really like balloons, like cocaine balloons, but like they're little capsules. They're little plastic. They're little glass, like beads inside, and they have little multicolored liquid inside of that little bead.
So it's like a sort of like an alchemist like drug delivery mechanism thing or something
right.
like that.
Yeah. It appears to be water or mineral oil of some kind, and it's got some kind of capsule inside.
So what would you call this?
There are five of those.
So,
why don't you make one more arcana check if you can see if you had seen this before.
Liquid capsules. X5.
So, per our contract, would we be basically contracted to hold on to the healing potions for them upstairs, and except for...
As I said before, this is, you are to bring back anything you find unless destroying it for your own personal magical use keeps you alive. Now that being said, there is not really a lot of oversight down here.
No.
Yeah
nobody's checking.
Okay.
So Graham asked for another arcana check if you want to throw one up.
Yeah, if you've seen one of these kind of capsule potions before, you need to make an arcana check to see if you recognize that, and pardon me, you can do that too.
Okay.
Well, that's since he was out there. Yeah, I'm in here. Nah.
Ooh. Yeah, no, you guys haven't had these before. This must be something new to you. What happens next? And these potions, you can destroy these potions. They're the way I have it, these potions, they give you a D6 spell slots each. All of these do.
So these capsule potions give us a D6 of...
All of the healing potions, too. All of them give you a D6 spell slots. And the spell slots can be at any level.
How many healing potions did you say there were?
Two.
Two? Okay.
Pardon me, three, excuse me.
Three. So we can have any level of magical stuff.
Yeah. So if you could cast ninth level spells and you rolled a 6 on this D6, you could have 6 spell slots.
Okay. All right. Do you think it's worth giving me some magical powers? Now, what are cantrips use?
That's a good question.
Because they don't have spell slots, right? So, and I have access to 2 cantrips as a Eldritch Knight. So,
Let's say that you have to have some spell slots ready to use cantrips.
But it doesn't use a cantrip.
It doesn't use any spell slots, but you have to have some magic power inside you to use the cantrips.
I definitely think it's worth doing then, because I can like, as an Eldritch Knight, I can use a cantrip and attack as a bonus action. So it's definitely worth for me to have something like that usable.
I'd say you earned the use of some of this stuff just due to being beaten up by a giant mushroom.
What about cleric? You have healing spells?
I have a few, yes.
So I think maybe we should prioritize healing spells.
Pardon me, who's your god?
That's a very important question.
Okay,
I never plan out when I'm making the character.
That's okay. What happens next? You guys get the sense very quickly, now that you're kind of discussing, you've kind of been here for a little bit. You take a short rest?
Oh, do you want to take a short rest? Yeah, we can take a short rest. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm certainly resting while watching the door. Yeah, we can take a short rest. That's like an hour, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we can, during a short rest, Sheepy, you can use a hit die, which means that you can roll your... You have 5. You have 1 for every level that you have. Yeah. And since you're straight rogue, you have 5d8s. So you can use... How many is it? 2?
Oh, you can use them all.
You can use them all. So you can roll one at a time, essentially, and say, I'm going to use 1 hit die, get your health back, etc., etc. But okay. The only... So this is why the Gormung... feat is actually pretty good, because when you do a long rest, you only get back half. So if you use 5, right, if you use all 5 and you do a long rest, which takes 8 hours, you only get 2. It's rounded down or rounded up?
I think it's down.
Down. So you'd only get 2 hit die back out of your 5, right?
Okay.
But with the Gormung, you get it's 2 plus 3. It'd be half your hit die plus 3. Back if I make a good meal during the long rest, right? That's the prerequisite, that I have to make a good meal during the long rest. So you would get all 5 back instead of getting 2 back.
All right.
So that's why that feat is really good, but you know, you have to go into cooking pretty hard to make that happen. So we can take a long rest, and maybe we can take a break at the same time, Graham. What do you think? So we're going to take a short rest, and we're also going to take a break.
Happened during y'all's short rest. The first thing is that during an extraordinary moment of clarity, Grant realized, wait a minute, I can read this book.
maybe he just had spores in his eyes.
Yes. As he chooses his language that he missed out on, it happened to be Infernal, which is what the book is written in. So this book kind of details the lesser demons and devils that inhabit the outer planes, the other planes, as opposed to this one. You guys haven't spent a lot of time reading about or researching any of the outer planes. There's really a lot of like, oh, hey, there's, excuse me. It's like, oh, hey, there's like big bugs down here. And like slimes and gelatinous cubes and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is kind of uncharted territory. Secondly, it also details, as we said before, some of the named inhabitants of those places as well. It's a book on conjuring theory.
Would be worth a pretty penny to someone upstairs.
Let's definitely hang on to this.
Whoa. And what does it say in there? Anything good?
Yes. It says a lot of things about demons and things.
So nothing good then.
Well, it depends on your definition of good, doesn't it?
Oh, demons don't necessarily fall into my realm of good things, so...
Well, it's good that we know about this. So, technically speaking, it's good.
You guys, something else happens during your short rest. You hear something. You hear a high-pitched sound echoing further down the hallway to your left, as we described earlier. It sounds like it's a high-pitched, warbling, warbling being like...
That's probably the demons and stuff.
Oh, did you read about that in that book there, huh?
No, I'm making an educated guess.
Oh, could you're educated now, huh?
I mean, educated. I managed to read this bloody thing, didn't I? Agreed. I mean, it was upside down for a bit, but I figured that out. It's pretty educated.
Is it magical?
That issues no kind of reply, no kind of response from the dungeon or anything else inside it. It's just that sound in a vacuum. Nothing else happens.
Okay. I guess I sort of stand up and I'm just like,
well, if you're finished with the fucking around in this place, might I suggest that I take one of these and crush it.
Get me some spell slots.
I was hoping for a couple more minutes of fucking around, but sure.
Yeah, I could keep fucking around here all day, really.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I would rather go upstairs and have a warm bed at the end of this travel, but you can sit here all day and pretend to work. That's cool, too.
I just flipped through the book.
Alright, so Graham, I'm going to pop one of these capsule potions.
Yeah.
So you said it's a D6 with the spell slots?
Mm-hmm.
Yay. Alright, I have a total of 6. Where can we mark these down? I'm just going to put it down here. 6 spell slots. Now, is this one of those things where if I have... also, I'm going to use a hit die, if that's cool too. Is it 1d10 plus con? Or is it level? Nightmare, do you know?
It's con. You con? Don't have total die based on your level.
Okay.
Con mod. I should
con specify. Mod. 9. Okay. Okay, that's good enough for me. So, I've got 4 hit die remaining. So, is this one of those things where, like, I can use... I think I can use, like, 5 spells? Oh, 4? Yeah, 5. Is it like... Do I have 6 or do I only have 5?
Being an Eldritch Knight, you still have to prepare spells, do you not?
No. I just have known spells and then I have spell usage. So I can use 3 spells. I know 4 first level spells and 2 cantrips. So I don't have to prepare them.
Then yeah, you can just cast 6 spells, whatever it happens to be.
Okay, but is this Like, can I only spend three of them at any time before resting?
No, you can spend six of them since you have six.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I can deal with that. Okay, and that allows me to use cantrips now too. So, cool.
Okay.
All right.
That happens.
So, what does that look like when we how does it work when we sap magical energy out of things? What is it? So
really, the object literally just vanishes.
Is it like turned to dust and then it just like goes away? Yeah, like, that?
Like energy goes into your face.
Blah. Yeah.
Just
okay.
Crush it up and snort it.
I can feel the magic.
I love magic.
So maybe, do you have any cantrips, Nightmare?
I do.
All right, so maybe you should do the same thing. What have you got? What spells do you have?
I have a lot. I have light, which would help him. Mm-hmm. I have spirit of dying, which will help you.
I mean, I don't need any magic to help me. You know, it's not.
Don't be ashamed if you can't use magic. Not everyone can.
I'm not ashamed. It's, you know, I'm just saying, I don't need you guys helping me with sparkly lights and shit like that, right?
Duly noted, we won't help you with sparkly lights.
What else do you have, Nightmare?
Thank you.
Sanctuary Bless, Cure Wounds, Shield of Faith.
Ooh.
That's a restoration, prayer of healing, revivify, beacon of hope. I have a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, you know what? Pop one of these bad boys. For real.
I will. I'm gonna snort some magic.
How many...
Nope. I drop it all over the floor.
Just sneezes and it goes everywhere.
I'm just like...
It's a really low quality magic there.
Yeah, so I still have to pick my fourth spell. I don't know what I'll pick though.
Alright. I'm good. I'm okay. In case you guys were worried.
Looks like that was some of that ditch magic.
Ditch magic.
Oh, it burns. Oh. Alright. Do we go down the scary hallway, or do we go to the other hallway?
Let's go down the scary hallway.
This hallway's the hallway is pitch dark. As far as you can tell, it looks like a hallway. But about halfway down, about 50 feet down the hallway, you begin to see cell doors, like iron gated doors, that are all kind of standing open at about a 10-degree angle. There are 12 of them, six to a side.
It's a lot of peeking and stuff. Should be careful.
Those brackish footprints continue down that hallway.
Yeah. I don't feel good about adventuring with this thing at our back.
Sure. I mean, it'll probably hit you first. That's what's good about being sure I can stay down here where I'm not as noticeable. So if it comes down to try to smash you, it hits you first, and then I can move out of the way. It's a good plan.
Yeah.
Solid strategy.
So, do clerics have the healing word thing? Cantrips?
I don't. No, there's no healing cantrips.
Okay. Well, there's like a bonus action or something you do, right?
Yeah, I can cast healing words and bonus action.
Okay, yep. All right, well, let's continue then, I guess.
Tally-ho.
So we'll walk down the hallway, and, you know...
Who goes first?
Sheepy, do you feel like it?
Taking point? Well, I guess we can't really count on the short ass for this, so I'll take point on this one, and...
No, I can be in front if you want.
I mean, you know, I've done my point.
Uh-huh.
Gormung's done his point. Are we taking in turns? Go for it.
I could go in front if you want me to just die, and then I won't be able to fix you guys up afterwards. That's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
A couple of healing potions.
Listen, you're not here because of your charming personality. You're here because you're good at finding traps. go find us some traps.
Oh yeah, hard. You know, I'll just go ahead and find some traps. You guys can snort some more magic or something.
Make an investigation check.
Okay.
Remember, you get advantage because you have dungeoned over.
Can I snort some more magic?
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, you definitely need it. Yeah.
Wait, was that investigation? Sorry.
Yeah.
With advantage, yeah.
Ooh. I was like, what am I, cop?
26 crit.
You don't notice any traps, especially. You don't notice any traps that are specifically designed to be traps. As you walk up to the, as you get to the point where the cells begin, there are 12 cells, 6 to a side, like jail cells. They're about 8 feet by 8 feet. On the ceiling of each one of these cells are each cell. Within each cell on the ceiling are 2 green blobs. Just attached, firmly attached to the ceiling. With that critical investigation check, you guys have seen these plenty of times. These are green slimes.
They appear to be keeping slimes prisoner.
Well, the cage doors are standing open.
And they're doing a very bad job of it.
The green slimes are free to go.
Oh, you know, early, good baby.
With your adventuring prowess, you guys know that green slimes, if they land on you, they will begin to turn you into green slime.
Well, that is no good.
Can we, like, poke them off the roof?
If we have to? Yeah, sure.
You know what? I'll actually do. If they're in the way of going down,
they're not. You're going down the hallway. The cells are on your right and to your left, 6 on each side.
Okay. How about we just lock them in?
Well,
the slimes. Wow. They could just
work. Wow. You're going to just imprison these innocent slimes?
Yes. Yes.
No. Can't believe you.
But then again, I'm not hopped up on magic, so.
I don't know about you guys, but I really don't like the idea of things being behind us as we go forward.
Well, surely if they're locked inside...
It's a slime. They could just, you know, wobble through a wall.
Maybe we could put up like a sheet so they can't come through.
I've seen a slime come through bricks before. So...
You're always looking at the negatives, aren't you?
Well, when a slime starts latching onto your rear end as we go forward, and we're fighting whatever it is that we're fighting up ahead. Yes.
Well, if a slime grabs onto his rear end, I feel bad for the slime.
Yeah.
3 creatures round the next corner, down at the end of this hallway. 2 mushroom men of appropriate size. And 1 giant micropid. Its mushroom cap takes up almost the entire hallway.
Okay.
It is made entirely of what appear to be tree trunks. It also has 4 arms.
Okay.
They round the corner, they look down at you, and they point the other way in unison.
Point the other way?
Everyone is going this way. They point past you, like, go away.
Roger, quick, look behind you.
I'm just like, all right, make sure these oozes don't attack us. And then I conjure a flaming bolt in my hand.
What? No. What are you doing?
Well, we need to go deeper.
There's another way.
Of course there's another way, but we need to check everything.
We can come back later.
And you'd really want these things behind us?
I mean, they're not...
If we walk backwards, they won't be behind us.
Yes, but if we walk backwards, then what's behind us will be in front of us, and then we don't know what's in... Yeah.
I'm just going to throw the bolt down the hole. Okay.
I choose the right. 3.
So you throw the bolt, what happens?
Well, I hit one of them.
Yeah.
I'm going to aim for the big guy, I guess.
Yeah, certainly. I assume as much.
Yeah, how many of these guys, how many of these things can I throw off before they get within like 15 feet of me?
Well, let's roll initiative. That was one. Now we'll roll initiative.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Also, do they react to the fire and all that stuff?
It's you mean like more than usual? No.
No? Okay.
Yeah, I'm first.
Does the spell say anything about flammable material?
Good question. Let me check.
Oops. I didn't mean to do that.
You hurl a mote of fire at a creature within range. On hit, takes 1d10 fire damage. A flammable object hit with this spell ignites. If it isn't being worn or carried.
Okay, so it's not being worn or carried.
Oh, it's 2d10 at level... Oh, no, that's right. Yeah, it's 2d10 right now. So, yeah. Yeah, so... yeah.
Sorry. Okay. Initiative, say it to me.
19 for Pudmi, 9 for Gormong, and 6 for Grant.
Grant, rolling those high numbers again.
High roller.
Okay. Pudmi, what do you want to do?
No, this won't be the first time I've thrown a spear at a mushroom man. Let's make it again.
The big one?
Yeah, let's try to stop the big one.
Hey.
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 Here we go.
Eight.
Eight.
The first 8 one.
Points of damage, yep. Okay, great. Yeah, that thing already looks four off. Gormung, what do you want to do?
How far away are these things?
40 feet from you.
And, yeah, I mean, they're going to get to me in this turn, right?
If you move a little closer, yeah.
All right, so...
They have, I'll tell you, they have speed 30, so they'll, I mean...
They're 40 feet? So, but then they'll get into my attack range, right?
Theoretically.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to fire another firebolt, then I'm going to, I don't know, just... use my bonus action to take out my glaive.
Okay.
Yep. 14?
14 just hits.
19 damage.
Wow. All right. yes, the big creature will begin to bound down the hallway. And it will move its full speed of 30.
Mm-hmm.
It's now 10 feet away from you.
I guess
it will.
So I get to attack first, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Nothing. 8. Negative. Natural 1.
Natural 1.
Yeah.
The creature, this large creature, will start by ejecting.
Man.
Purple lit up luminescent spores in your face. I need you to make a constitution saving throw.
Crushed it. Natural 20.
All right. Good. The other two will make their way behind the first creature, and they will be ready to go. Grant, what do you want to do?
I would like to try and stealth as my bonus action.
Nice. Okay. So you can like hide behind me and maybe like jump over the top and attack this guy or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Oh well, yeah. No, I'm 10 feet away. You would have to.
Probably not.
Snake eyes.
I'm like, guys. I'm gonna stealth. I'm gonna go hide. Be sneaky. You know how I'm sneaky.
Oh, that's great.
Sneaking around.
Yeah, I've got my own theme song for sneaking.
Being super sneaky. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
All right. Okay, Grant, what else?
So...
You've got a normal attack left as well. But here's the thing. You have to get in front of me to attack these things, because these are at 10 feet away right now.
So yeah,
you would need to you got throwing daggers for sure, but you can't attack these things right now.
Okay, so
if we ever find you a bow later on, right, you can theoretically and you know what, when we go back to the main camp you can probably just grab one, but the way that you can do range stuff is you can hide and then use a bow to do a sneak attack if you wanted to.
Technically speaking,
you could do that, yes. But you can't do that right now, so yeah.
Is there any kind of like preparation or assist type thing I can do?
Yeah, you can assist.
You can hold your action until something like some catalyst occurs. You can say like, oh, when they move.
The other thing is too, you could say I dodge, which is to say that they'll get disadvantage to hit you. Which is really, really handy. So they'll take the lower of the attacks. But the other thing you can do is you can assist me in my attack. So my first attack will get an assist to hit.
I think I will assist you on your attack. So I like pat you on the back. I'm like, you got this, buddy.
Yeah,
I believe.
Well, it's more like you'd probably just, you know, with your distracting stealth.
Yeah, I'm so distracting. It makes it easier. I'm like. Stealth, hiding,
just
hiding, slipping into the shadows.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Put me.
Put me.
Would you like to try and stealth with me?
No. I don't do that.
Let me take a crack at this.
Yeah.
We can sing in harmony as we stealth.
No, I'll
do I just sing in a certain key to stealth?
I'll prepare an attack for when they come in distance. I'm not going to them. They can come to me.
Alright. Gormung.
Is this like a hallway?
Yeah. Well, a hallway with six jail cells on either side.
I mean, do they have enough like ability, like if I effectively just like is there only one way, one enemy that can attack me right now? Like, there's no way an enemy can sneak around the side?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
There are the slimes.
Not without invoking an attack of opportunity. They could get past you, but they take an attack.
All right. Well, I'm going to do my first attack with assistance. So this is with...
you got this.
Advantage.
Okay.
23. That's a hit, good. Obviously. 8. And 15.
Yep. Hits.
For 12. So that's 20 damage. And then. I will do a bonus attack as well. That's a hit for 8. So I do 28 damage.
Do you see the two smaller mushroom men behind the big one that you're attacking shudder when you deal damage to the big guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Anything else?
No, that's all I can do, so.
Alright. The two creatures, the two smaller ones, will indeed attempt to move past you on either side.
Alright, well, I guess the first one that comes by gets an attack on... I get to attack him.
Okay.
So I'll do that. 19, that's a hit. Half a 9 damage.
Pardon me, one of them gets up to you, so they... Give a held action for it.
Yep. Yeah. Ken.
It's a miss. The creature will come to you, Pudmi. It will attempt to grab you by the shoulders.
All right.
So I need you to make a... I believe you can make acrobatics or athletics. It's your choice.
Athletics. 12.
Okay. So it grabs you.
Right.
And we're going to make a strength contest, okay? It's going to attempt to throw you into one of the jail cells that's next to you.
Okay.
So this is a strength contest.
Oh, yeah.
It rolls a natural 20.
Boom.
Damn it.
Well, slime you later. You get Nickelodeon gacked.
He grabs you and he just strong arms you into this cell. Now what happens, there's a lot going on this turn. I need you to make a, first of all, a dexterity saving throw to avoid the slime, because there's two of them. Ooh. you guys, Grant, you turn, you see this, first of all, there's one of these guys that's coming to you too. You can do the same thing. You turn, you see Pudmi get strong-armed into the cell, and you see this glob of green slime land on his forehead, covering him, covering his whole head, excuse me. And Pudmi, this thing stings. It's like your head is on fire. It's like your head is actively being dissolved because it is. Grant, same coming to you, okay? This one's coming next to you. He's gonna try to grab you, so you get to make acrobatics or athletics.
Which one was the one that I did damage to? Was that the one that got
This is the one that got Pugmi?
Pugmi? Okay, yeah.
Oh, it rolls a natural one. What are you gonna do? So it doesn't grab you at all. You're like, oh man, I'm so stealth. And then you're like,
how did it see me?
Yeah, it comes right to you. It tries to grab you, but that's okay because you're so dexterous. You were able to get out of the way.
Yes.
The big guy is going to, first of all, it's going to make some melee attacks against Gormung. It's not very happy. It's got four arms. It's going to take four melee attacks.
Fuck my life. So, okay.
Yeah. 20 hits.
You got this, buddy.
16 misses.
Yeah, 16 misses. Yeah.
16 misses again, uh-huh. And 11 misses. So one hit.
Okay.
For 10 bludgeoning damage.
Okay. Oof. That's
a lot.
That's a lot.
And 11 poison damage.
What the fuck? Holy shit.
So that's 20.
We should have listened to the pointing.
That's half my health. Good God.
Yeah. Grant, what are you going to do?
26 now.
Well, this is a bit of a pickle. So we have...
How about you help me stab the giant tree?
I mean, we also have a dwarf in a jail cell with a slime hat.
He could probably do something that way, but think of it like this. If we all go down, it's because of the fact that there's a giant tree here with big swinging dick arms that swings four turns and does, like, what is it? A 64 plus one worth of damage every time it hits you, so...
Yeah, no, and yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, can I, if I stealth, can I get... Am I in range of the big guy?
Yeah, you'd have to, go and make a stealth check.
All right.
If you manage to, like, duck between this thing that's bearing down on you's legs and then get behind it and it misses you, then I'll say your stealth. If you miss, it's going to take an attack of opportunity.
Okay. Well, as we all know, I'm very good at stealth.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you do, just as we said. You dive headfirst between his legs and somersault standing up right in range of the big guy.
Awesome. Okay, so I'll do a sneak attack.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So normal rapier, not singing anymore.
Yeah, not either.
Yeah. Well, the song's over now.
Ooh, that hits.
Yeah, nice.
So that's that, and then...
Goodness.
Yeah! All right.
Oh my goodness, yes.
26
you have...
damage.
So you're there with the glaive, Gormung. You're slashing at it. A flash of black shadows just moves past your field of view, and then there's diced mushroom in front of you. This thing has been sliced and diced.
And I am the knight.
Wait, was that the mushroom or the tree that you attacked?
The big guy. It is like a tree.
Dick fingers. Okay. Yeah.
Dick fingers. Okay, the other two adult myconids, the normal sized ones, they grab their caps. They appear to be whatever voiceless whatever voiceless mushroom humanoids sound like or look like when they're in pain. That's what they look like.
They're doing that you know that weird painting of the guy going like, oh, they're doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. They're doing that. Except they have no mouths, so they cannot scream. So.
But me, on your turn, I need you to make a Constitution saving throw.
Okay. Does this count as poison?
This is not poison. This is
acidic.
This is acid. All
right. That's fine. 18.
Okay, you take 5 points of acid damage.
Okay.
Do you have any headwear?
I don't know if the chainmail comes with headwear.
I think it has like that little like thing that sits on top of it, right? It's like a.
It's fine. A hoodie. That dissolves. Your hair immediately dissolves.
My beautiful hair.
What do you want to do? This thing is actively eating you.
It's turning your
scalp into green slime.
Yeah.
It will eventually get to your brain.
Yeah, that's a bad thing.
It's going to take a while to get to his brain.
Wow.
Everybody knows dwarves' brains are in their feet.
Yeah. You know, keep my head down. I guess try to grab it, take it off.
Let's do this. Why don't you make an arcana check with proficiency, with your proficiency bonus, because it's a dungeon thing.
Okay.
And we'll see if you know how to get green slimes off.
That's with a 3 on top of it, I guess?
Yeah. So it's a 15.
15.
Okay, yeah, green slimes are only susceptible to fire.
Fire. Okay.
So what do you want to do?
Just I'm gonna like run out of the cell and like go to the corner. Like, get it off, get it off. Grant still has his lamp. So I could take his lamp and smash it against my head.
is that what you want to do?
That's what I want to do.
All right. Grant, you can't see much because somebody has now is trying to wrestle away your
lamp. It's actually attached to my belt, so I don't know.
Hands fall down? Nice.
So why don't you make let's make a strength contest, you two.
Right, give me your pants.
Give me your... Stop trying to take my pants off. Hell.
If you want to have a good time, you know what happens when you take off your pants.
I am
okay,
strong.
So yeah. Pudmi is just like... He's in his death throes, so he's
a mother him. Trying to save his baby flipping a car.
You rip this lantern off of Grant. His belt comes with it.
And my pants.
What do you do? You attempt to smash it over your face.
Just smash it on my head. Yeah.
Make one more strength check. Not a save, just a strength check.
Boom. Oh, that's sorry, different.
I'm not proficient in it, so it should be the same
role. Oh, that's the same thing. Okay. Yeah, so you smash this over your face. You take 5 points of slashing damage just from the glass and stuff. The lantern is trashed. I want you to deal 3d6 fire damage to this thing.
Okay.
It's still alive. It's still on there. It doesn't make any noise. It doesn't make any motion. It doesn't do anything. It just is.
It's on my head.
Gormung, what do you want to do? We still have two mushroom men are still in the room, still in the hallway.
So this is kind of like the thing that gets me, right? Like, I could use my... So hang on, there's no one's around me right now, right?
I'm here.
Oh, you're okay. So if I was to use a burning hands and try and get everything, including like the creature on top of his head,
yeah.
Is that a possibility?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Yeah, so maybe I'm just like, as I'm doing burning hands, I'm just like, I scream out to, I think,
put me, head down, bum up, and then I just.
All right. So what kind of saving throw is that?
I believe it is. Let me just check here. Dex versus DC of spell, which I don't know what my DC is. Let me just roll it. Wait, no, that's
Yeah,
let me see. Your DC should be is a fixed number.
Cast at what level? One. Yep. It has DC 0, so I think it's put in wrong here, but I think I can
do it real quick. So it's 8 plus your proficiency modifier.
Oh, okay.
It should be 11.
11, yeah. Does wisdom come into it at all?
Plus your wisdom modifier.
So that'd be 15 then.
I thought you cast within.
No, I'm sorry. Eldritch Knight is intelligence modifier.
Yeah.
Is it? Is it intelligence or wisdom?
It's intelligence on here.
Okay, well, they're both the same for me, so it's fine.
So what's the total DC?
Well, you said it's 13 plus intelligence, right? So it's 15.
Yeah. Okay. Pardon me, you gotta beat that.
Oh, good. I'm so fast.
Unfortunately for you guys, both of the mushroom insane.
Can he get advantage for the fact that I gave him a heads up?
Sure, why not? Let's do 7 instead. All right.
Good job.
we need some damage. Oh, 10 damage?
10 damage, yeah.
So, pardon me, you take it all. The myconids take half.
Mm-hmm.
The slime also takes the damage. Takes 10 damage. The green slime shrivels up into a little like a deflated beach ball and just flops onto the ground, kind of like a brain slug.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, that's kind of cool. What about the big guy?
The big guy's long dead.
I chopped him up.
Chopped him up.
Oh shit! Sorry, I must have missed that.
Kill still, bitch.
Yep. Gormung, that was your move. Anything else?
That was your. I'm going to use my bonus action to get do second wind.
Okay.
Plus 5. Fucking yeah, boy.
Oh yeah. All right. The two adult creatures are going to come. Since Pudmi is next to is the closest to them. Pudmi, I got 4 attacks total coming at you. Okay.
Ready.
All right. 21 hits, I imagine.
Yep.
20 hits.
Yep.
18 and 18.
Yep.
Oh, oh Jesus Christ. Did I just kill you?
let me just roll it all together.
107.
Oh, so you take 20 20 bludgeoning damage.
And 30
and 21 poison
damage. Which gets reduced down to 10.
Okay.
Which is still negative. It's negative 5, so I'm not outright, but I am.
So you go down to 0, he collapses, he is just pummeled into submission. He falls prone, unconscious at 0. Grant, what do you want to do?
Let's kill these fucking things, man.
Yep. Okay. I'm gonna try and get slip back into the shadows. It's very hit and miss. Depends on whether I'm singing or not. I think it's serious enough that I probably.
Yeah, wouldn't I think it depends on if you're in tune.
Yeah. Okay. So let's give it a shot. No, I'm singing probably. Just I'm humming.
These guys aren't particularly perceptive.
Just humming a bit then.
So what do you want to do?
So does that mean I managed to get in stealth?
Well, why don't you roll and I'll tell you.
He did.
I did. I rolled.
I mean, if you're going to attack, roll your attack and I'll tell you if you get sneak attack damage or not.
Okay.
21.
Nah. Yep, that hits. Yeah, you get sneak attack damage only just.
Sweet.
Okay. So.
So yeah, you just come in and eviscerate one of them, dead, completely.
Nice.
Pardon me, make a death saving throw.
No one.
Yeah!
All right, one success.
Awesome. Oh man, you almost stood up.
Almost.
Gormung, what do you want to do?
Yeah, I'm going to finish off this last guy.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, all right. Glaive. 21, that's a hit.
Oh yeah.
8?
Dead.
Dead?
Okay. Slice down the middle, long ways.
Boom. Yeah, so can I use one of your kits to stabilize you?
Yeah, if you use my kit, it'll stabilize me, but I'll be unconscious for 1d4 hours.
Okay, so how do we make sure that you wake up then?
I suggest slapping him. Softly. I mean,
it doesn't sound like you can.
Okay, yeah, so I'll stabilize you, and then I guess we'll... how long has it been since... So we waited an hour in
there. So we'll say hour and a half sounds good.
Yeah, okay. So I guess once we've stabilized him, I'll just sort of maybe pick him up over my shoulders and be like,
right, we head back to the entrance, I guess.
Okay.
Sounds like a good plan.
All right, you're able to carry him all the way back to the well area.
Yeah.
Where the hole is.
I can just tie him and like... Okay. Like,
that was my question.
Hoist him up.
How do you intend to get him up?
Yeah, hoist him up with the rope, I guess.
Okay, so you tie him up, you climb up, you haul him up, okay? Let the rope back down, Grant gets up too. Everybody's safe, everybody's back up. What happens next?
Well, I guess we head on out to the camp and make sure that he gets the medical attention he needs, you know, medical attention.
Your three guys are the only ones there, okay. Which are, they have names.
Harry, Larry, and Clary.
Harry, Larry, and Stu.
Harry, Larry, and Bob.
Bob's back.
Oh, he's back.
Cogswell, Douglas, and... Oh, that sounds good. Olmstead.
Olmstead. Okay. Yeah.
Olmstead.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, we just, you know, make sure that he gets the rest he needs.
They see you come up, and they try to help you up, but they're really just making it worse.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
They say, what else can we do for you, sir?
Put a stew on or something. Something hearty.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, and then I guess we take a long rest. And how about...
Maybe a beer?
Maybe a beer, yeah. Yeah, so... I think
you don't get a bit. You're recovering.
So I think that maybe this is a good spot to leave the first episode. Then.
Well, the Olmstead is responsible for taking the minutes of your journey, so he wants to hear everything that happened.
Yeah.
For your benefactor. So what exactly do you tell him? And also, if you're going to deceive, I need you to make a deception check.
I say that we found some potions and some capsules and. You know, given the situation, we had to use some of them so that we can burn off some of the... I guess I can do it in character. It's like...
yeah, we managed to find some things at the entrance, but the entire place is literally filled with just all manner of fungi and infestations and spores and such. Yeah, we managed to find these things, and I hand over the potions and liquid capsules and stuff like that, and it's like, unfortunately we had to consume some of them in order to deal with the slimes as well.
We were subjected to a very vigorous pointing by a couple of mushrooms.
Yes, they did point. But there seems to be a more intelligent creature in there as well. We haven't seen it with our own eyes, but we felt its presence.
I'm pretty sure this book can help.
Oh yes, we found a book.
I found a book. I couldn't read it to begin with, and turned out it was upside down.
Fair enough. Olmstead asks you if you need the book and if you can take it back to the Baron.
I mean, if you could potentially make cliff notes, that would be awesome. We might need it to...
If you leave it with us, we'll make a copy.
Okay.
Can you read it?
Well, when it's in common or orcish, I will.
I can copy the symbols.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else to tell them? You tell them the truth. They write down those things. You hand over your potions, right?
Yeah, hand over the potions. So yeah, I'll remove them from my inventory. Yep.
So we'll take a long rest. Mm-hmm. They prepare you a stew to eat. Everybody gets all their HP back. Your spell slots don't go away or anything, but you also don't refill them, obviously.
Yep.
It's getting towards evening. You take the time to maybe kind of think about your next plan of action. There was more places to go along the prison path, and there was also another way to go at the very
beginning. Portion. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's left to go.
So maybe I should. We should think about how we can deal with spores and being, and you know, maybe something that could give us advantage on these constitution throws that we have to make for all these monsters spewing in our faces and stuff.
I suggest maybe finding hats.
Yes, but
the dropping slimes.
Yeah, I think that might be a good place to leave it. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think we'll wake up. I think we'll wake up next time, next game, and we'll make another excursion. We'll see what happens next time.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So let's do some shoutouts real quick. Let's start off with Mr. Sheepdog. How you doing?
Hey there, guys. I'm Sheepdog from Sheepdog Gaming on YouTube. I really enjoyed this. It was fun to learn something new. Like maybe when you go into a dungeon, wear a hat.
yeah.
And if you haven't gotten hit the entire session, maybe don't wait till the very end.
Yeah. As it turns out, being an Eldritch Knight is still fucking awesome. It gives you lots of options in combat to do things, which is fucking great, which is what you need. And my fourth spell is going to be Chromatic Orb for real. I think that's important to have.
I can almost promise you guys that I will be doing good and bad stealth rolls, dependent on my singing.
Learn how to stealth. Yeah.
maybe we can roll a few less ones. I feel like there were.
I mean, I think I had three myself. So
yeah,
I think I had. Four or five, maybe.
I feel like I did okay with my weapon attack, so I feel like that was fine. I would suggest maybe getting you a short bow with some arrows and something like that as well, so that you can do like.
You can send one of these guys to. They can run to town. It's a day away, but if they run like through the night, like they.
Yeah. So maybe that's important. Like maybe we need to get like a. Yes. Short bow for you or something, because then you become so, like, if we get stuck in a hallway again, you can do range damages for a couple of times. So
far, my combat's been very hit or miss.
That's generally how combat goes. And
that was very funny.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I guess next is Nightmare. You've got a big show ahead of you out here.
I do. Starting tomorrow at 5:00 Pacific Standard Time, normal die party start time, I'll be doing my birthday 27-hour stream. It's going to be my first like planned long stream that I've ever done on my channel, so I'm excited for it. We have a couple of things. We have a few games planned ahead of time. So we'll start off with some Don't Starve Together, some Jackbox. Revisit Hitman. Depends on who's on. Like I can hit up some Payday. I'll probably do Dark Souls a little bit because why not? I love Dark Souls. Cards Against Humanity, stuff like that. A lot of interactive stuff to keep me awake, mostly. Mm-hmm. But the main thing is that during the entire 27-hour stream, I will be hosting a poll, and you will all be able to vote on which color I will be dyeing the food. So far, the suggestions I have blue, it's called Rockabilly Blue, Wine Red, Green Apple. Sounds like Skittles, right? We have Pink, Purple, yellow, orange, and gray.
You should do like translucent, like a toothbrush.
Maybe. I didn't put that option on there, but we'll see.
Well, I was thinking a nice sort of slime-colored green
If the slime-colored green wins, then yes, I'll dye my hair slime green.
Awesome. Awesome. I can't wait. I'm definitely going to catch in with that. They can find you over at Nightmare. Yep, Twitch or TV says Nightmare. Yeah, three for an E. E through three, whatever. So, and last but not least, we have our dungeon master, Mr. @Graham_complete over on Twitter. How you doing, sir?
Yeah, so I've been doing a lot of stuff since the last time we spoke.
Yeah.
I've made a lot of different videos on the YouTube channel trying to gain some kind of traction. So I've made videos that talk about the game I'm designing, still working on Folk, which I've been working on for years and years.
I remember you talking about that at the end of Atuve. So.
Yeah, so those videos are about me designing that, just like step-by-step kind of stuff. Things about like how I think about games and the game that I want to make. And then I started a series that is the whole history of RPG, starting with Dungeons and Dragons, 1974.
Yeah, it was very hard to find people for that game.
So I went through. I basically read the book in the video, the whole first book. I read the whole thing, and I talked about where all the different parts came from, where the idea for the dwarves came from, where the idea for the elves came from, where the attack rolls came from, all that kind of stuff. And I'm gonna do the same thing for the second book, which is Monsters and Treasure, and then the same for Underworld Adventures. And then I'm gonna move on. I don't know if you can you guys see this? I've got every issue of the fanzine, or the APA rather.
Are you serious? Like the magazine that they used to release and stuff like that?
Alarms and Excursions, 1975 by Lee Gold. I paid Lee Gold, the original editor of this magazine, to email me copies of this thing. Like the original editor of this magazine from 1974 played with Gary. To send me those PDFs.
That's impressive.
We're going to go through those. I've got Boot Hill, all these really early games. And hopefully I'm going to go through that. I want to go through as much of the history of RPGs as I can. So that series is on there. I'm going to put that episode in the chat. I've been doing a lot of other stuff. We've been, doing all sorts of stuff on that YouTube channel, but I only have 50 subscribers.
Yeah,
but I have like 500 Twitter followers now. But like nobody, I can't. It doesn't move over.
So, how are we going to do XP in this game? Are we just going to level up at some point, or like?
Yeah, no. We'll do it normally. I'll throw some XP at you guys in the Discord chat.
Okay. Yeah, that works. Hey guys, thank you for watching. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you haven't already done so, please consider hitting that follow button. It'll really help the channel grow. We do a lot of tabletop role-playing games here on the channel. We have 6 active games now, 6 a week, which is fucking insane considering I have a full-time job and a career on top of it. We also do archives and podcasts as well, which you can definitely go check out over on SoundCloud and on the YouTube. So let's talk about Die Party real quick. On Monday at 5 p.m. PST, we have Die Party Night City, a cyberpunk 2020 adventure with me as the GM. It's fucking nuts. That's all I'm going to say about that. If you enjoy any sort of cyberpunk stuff, that's definitely the game to check out. Tuesdays, we have Die Party Void Barons, which is Sheepdog down here. Is the GM for that. It is a Warhammer 40k rogue trader game. That's just started as well. We're going to be in the second episode come next week. On Wednesdays at 5 p.m. PST, we have Die Party Black Hand, powered by the apocalypse mafia style game, which is run by Swagula at 5 p.m. PST. Thursdays, we have Die Party Fulcrum, which is a mutants and mastermind system game, so basically superheroes, which is run by Dr. Wreckage at 5 p.m. PST. Fridays, we have 2 games going up. The first one is starting next week. It's Die Party Omen at 5 p.m. PST, which is a bi-weekly game, which is this game, Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition. Maybe it'll go into weekly. Who knows? We'll see how popular this game becomes. But it is currently a bi-weekly game. So every second week, you can definitely go check the schedule for when that'll go up. And next, we have a Star Wars Edge of the Empire game called Die Party Gambit, which is going to go live on the 20th of January. And that's going to be a weekly game. But that's focused on the European time zone. So it is 8 a.m. PST if you want to tune into that. Yeah, that's pretty much everything. On Wednesdays, we also do a board game show called Board Games with Bearded Bros, which is just fucking the stupidest fun on the planet.
Yeah, we're playing Zombicide next week.
Zombicide? Cool, yeah. And yeah, that's pretty much it, guys. Thank you very much for watching. And remember, when you go into a dungeon, wear a fucking hat. I swear. Just wear a hat. I mean, there's no sun down there, but like, just wear a hat. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. Peace, guys.